We ready?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is March the 28th, 2012, 6:15 p.m. This is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Kineteo Independent School District. And Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Cousins?
Here.
Mr. Cordova?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Stokes?
Here. Tony, will you take us to our new business?
Item 2A is discussion and possible action regarding architectural services for miscellaneous projects related to DC 2011 bond to include the creation and management of scope of work for DC 2011 bond projects and possible assistance with owners program for new pre-K in school.
President Searles, board members, audience. Item 1 tonight deals with an item that was requested by the board at our last school board meeting. You'll remember that we awarded the larger architectural projects to various firms, three firms in the El Paso area to complete the work in those major projects. And then subsequent to that, there was a discussion on the board about the possibility of bringing back an item to assign another architect or an architect from the list and a contract to do the miscellaneous projects above and beyond the major projects that we assigned, to basically have that, for lack of a better term, that architect on retainer, in the sense that they would come in and do projects as needed, some of which we wouldn't even know for a while until we started getting further into the work. This also led the board, you will remember, to a discussion about Ernesto Armendariz' exit from the district and the possibility that this new architect could quickly get on board, and as one of the miscellaneous projects, they could start on the scope of work needs, the scope of work logs for many of the projects, particularly the projects that are supposed to begin this summer, with the notion that when the new executive director is hired, that new executive director then could partner with the third-party architect who will have already been working on it. And as the new executive director got up to speed, the executive director then could take over a lot of those duties. But, and literally we could then just stop the work that the third-party architect would be doing on the scope of work at that point. Or maybe there's just a really positive relationship there between the two and we ask them to continue, but it would be at our discretion. This is imperative in that we have created a summer school schedule. We have our principals here behind us that are here for a different reason, but this is important to them as well. We've created a summer school schedule that has actually cleared out a couple of our campuses, Alvarete being one. Of course, we have the architect there, but another one would be Kineteo Elementary, where we basically emptied it for the summer to do work, but we have no scope of work to even begin planning for that work, and that architect could be contacted literally tomorrow if you award this tonight. They could come in, get familiar with the work that's supposed to occur at Kineteo Elementary, along with other projects going on this summer, and start on the scope of work. I will just inform the board that we have minimal candidates who have applied for Ernesto's job. It's just a small handful that have applied. Certainly, the pool for his position has not met any type of critical mass. And we're weeks away from interviewing, if not months or a month, at least over a month away from interviewing. And if we don't get a third-party architect on board to start with the scope of work, we're going to miss out on some opportunities this summer. The third item on the agenda item is the possible, and everyone will notice I put in the word possible, assistance with the owners program for new pre-K-8. We have Carl Daniel and Hugo Saldana here with us, and Carl wants to approach and speak for just a minute to the podium, and he can do that in just a second with the blessing of the board. We trust Carl. We love Carl. Carl and Hugo have been doing such a wonderful job in the programming phase. We were with them last night. We're going to begin with them tomorrow night. They've met with faculties, cabinet, all the principals have had a chance. They've met with IT folks, our maintenance and custodial folks. We've probably had already 7 or 8 meetings, large, significant meetings where Carl and Hugo have been in front of our community. And they finish up, they almost finish up tomorrow night in front of a bunch of parents at JDE at 6 o'clock. Carl's going to do a great job for us, we know that. And he also could do a great job with the owners program as we move forward. Our deadline in the architectural contract is to complete the owners program prior to April 17th. And the concern, however, and the thought is that, you know, if we're going to hire a miscellaneous architect already, and we're going to assign that miscellaneous architect to start writing some scopes of work for us as we wait for the executive director, we very well could also have them sit in with Carl in some meetings and talk about the technical specifications of the pre-K-8 and get their minds together and their heads around creating that owners program. Now, Carl has in the letter, and you all received the letter, there was an initial draft on Friday and then an updated draft sent, was that yesterday, Tommy?
Sure.
In which he is saying, you know, we can do this. He has the expertise, he's done it before. He has plenty of examples. He actually included in his letter an example from El Paso ISD. So, you know, he does have that expertise. But in the letter, he also does say, you know, but if the board wants to hire a third party to help, be happy to assist that as well. So administration brings this recommendation that we consider hiring this third-party architect to be involved in all these projects. And the last thing I'll say on behalf of administration is that this, I want to reiterate that this is all on retainer. Steve, that's probably not the right word, but it's we can use them, and then we can stop using them, and then we can start using them again. We can assign them these projects, but not these projects. It's not a set thing in stone. And so that way we can control our cost as we start going through. The main thing I'm concerned about is these scopes of work that we need to get going on. So with that, President, I'll turn it back for any questions. And of course, Carl is here, and he would like, and I'll leave it to you as far as if you'd like to hear from him and go from there.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Ms. Gonzalez, you look like you already have a question. Did you? Is there anybody want to open the floor with discussion on this?
Just, I guess if we could have Carl Daniel, because he did write a letter just to see what insight we might get. Because my understanding is pretty much the programming is already taking place.
Is everybody good with
that? Right. Remember, the owner's program is not programming. They're two separate things. The owner's program is the technical specifications that the district will require in the project.
And I think looking at the standards and the specifications that we're going to need in the project, since this is a project, our first pre-K-8, we need to look at it because we might change that the standards that we currently might have on under this project to see what might be better for the pre-K-8 type of standards base, so that way whoever, when we go out for another pre-K, then you just hand over the architect.
Exactly.
But right now we're developing a new thing, and I think it's, from my understanding from the letter and from previous where we've had the specifications, I think just to get an insight real quick.
Mr. Daniel, would you like to speak to the board on your thoughts on this?
Board President Charles and board members, Dr. Murphy. I'll be very brief. All we wanted to do by clarification tonight is to say this to you. We are well underway, about two-thirds of the way finished with the programming effort for the pre-K through 8. The things that are mentioned in this item are actually programming some other scopes, which we're not really suggesting that you consider us for. The clarification that I really wanted to make was, as Dr. Murphy and everybody's referring to it, the owner's program, we like to better call a facility standards. booklet, which are the technical specifications of everything from roofing and carpeting and concrete and those things. And all we wanted to tell you there is that since we're already underway with programming, the facility program for the pre-K through 8, we're meeting with all departments, and as we go along, since you don't already have a facility standards, if you would like us to, my partner, Hugo Saldana, who you all know, wrote the facility standards for Isleta Independent School District. He produced that booklet. So we have that experience, and my other partner, Hugo and I's partner, who you've not met, Steve Franco, wrote the facility standards for El Paso Community College. And so as we go along interviewing department heads and people, which we've already started, if you'd like us to, we can submit a proposal to you to simultaneously produce the facility standards as we make the decisions about the technical things that we're going to this new pre-K through 8 school, and that's really all we're suggesting.
And for clarification, on our agenda item, it's possible assistance with owners program. Would you call that the equal of facility standards in this case?
That's what I'm calling it, and I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, but we think there are two things, really. We're well underway with the program for the pre-K through 8, and we've had such tremendous input already from so many people, teachers, principals, and community members. The thing that we think is missing now that Mr. Armendariz was going to do for us is write a technical booklet for us, and so that's all that's sort of missing. And so as we go along, if you should choose to, we can produce that too.
Or we could have a third party.
Absolutely.
Which would, I mean, it's not as though you're not representing us. Obviously, you are representing us, but we could have a third party, which a couple weeks ago would have been Mr. Armendariz. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And since we don't have anybody, there is no Mr. Armendariz.
That is correct.
We would then move to get someone, either you or another person, to do, and all you're talking about, if I'm correct, is facility standards.
Standards. Okay. And you really need to develop that thing now, because for this and future projects, you need it. And it's a document that gets amended and updated and modified as you go along. It's made up of best practices. You know which roofs, your plumbing has know which roofs are the best, which plumbing are the best, and so you just put that in a booklet. The next project that comes along, you hand that to the professionals that are going to do it for you. It's a great deal of help, and if they then say, well, it could be updated, this is a lot better product, you update it. So it's really just a facility specification standard.
So it's what we're going to be expecting out of you is, in layman's terms, that's what we're going to expect when school opens. We're going to say, gee, this is the exact roof he wrote down here that was going to be there, and all the rest of ours, unless somebody else decides differently, are going to be that standard.
We're going to make all those decisions with your facilities people as we go along with the project. So one of the things we could do is simply, in tandem, is develop this book as we go along. That's one way to do it. But another firm could do it just as well, and we would even collaborate.
I want to emphasize that no matter which way we go tonight, Carl Daniels is going to be involved.
Yes, absolutely.
If we get the third party to assist, he's going to be assisting Carl. And if we choose to omit that, and that's why I did put the word possible there, then Carl would just be doing it full on. So,
is there anybody who has any questions of Mr. Daniel? Sergio?
My opinion is I think we ought to just Mr. Daniels and his firm develop along, even though we don't have our facilities director right now. Once he gets on board, he can do that. We're going to have a construction manager at risk that's also going to have some input in this, because the standards that we write for our facilities is going to also delineate what kind of pricing we're going to have on these things. And our CMR is going to, along when our architect is doing the design phase at various points throughout the entire design phase, they're going to give us input on not only these standards for the materials and XYZ, but in terms of giving us pricing on it so that we can develop what.
It's really a quality standard that you're establishing for this and future projects.
Right.
Mr. Daniel, for I guess you're a professional. None of us are architects sitting up here, and you understand what our issue and our situation is, having lost Mr. Armendariz.
Yes.
In your professional opinion, what would you be the most comfortable with? Doing it yourself, and then as our new person comes on, being able to share, or would it be better to have someone stand in the gap?
Honestly, we really will do it either way, but we're already on board. We're already kind of asking those questions of your people. Mm-hmm. So while we're gathering this information, we can just put it in the book for you as we go along. And
then update our new person as he comes or she comes on board?
Let's say this person comes on board in a month and a half or two. They would just plug right in with us, maybe even take it out of our hands if they would like to,
uh-huh.
but just collaborate with us on every decision we make goes into this book. And so simply you have, for the next project, you give it to the next professional firm and they have a book to go by.
No value engineering, right?
Well, and I see I want to comment on that. Ernesto was very adamant that a strong owners program or facility standards booklet, and they are pretty much the same thing, saves money.
Yes.
That we get in there that instead of a 12-inch pipe, we're only going to use a 5-inch pipe. Because that's all we need, and then we're not spending the money on the 12-inch pipe. Mm-hmm. And those standards are in there, and he felt very strongly that a strong owners program would save significant money in the end.
I agree completely, and I think Mr. Daniel knows that whatever you design, we've got to be able to afford to build.
Yes.
That's critical. I mean, there are a lot of real pretty schools. We could have you design something real fancy, but if we can't build, it's really not going to be effective. Does anyone else have any comments or thoughts?
Would it,
Rachel? Yeah. Rachel?
How much will all this cost us?
If it's okay, we'll just give you a proposal to do it. We're going to be doing it simultaneously, so it's not a huge sum.
Yeah, it is not in his contract to write an owner's program.
Understood.
So it would be an additional cost, either to him or to the third party. Probably to both. Because if they're going to do a tandem, he's still going to have to get that in his items that he's his contract.
And I have a question of Mr. Blanco. Mr. Blanco, legally, we went out for an RFQ for architects to do whatever it said, and then we went out for an RFQ for energy people. Could we use one for the other and the other for, you know, could
energy management for this?
Or, well, not this, but could be for this.
No.
Well,
that's my opinion. I don't think.
Okay.
The cost issue is one we'll have to address with Mr. Daniel's firm and bring it back to you. That's what I wanted to question. I think that's a good question. We'll have to resolve that at a future date.
So it's a negotiation sort of thing as well.
Yeah. And if we hire the third-party architect, whether or not we do this possible assistance with ownership program, it will also be a negotiation.
Oh, sure.
And we can just do them in tandem.
Essentially, what we do with Mr. Daniel's contract is just adding it on as another item for him to take care of.
Okay. Any other questions?
I do.
Yes.
Mr. Daniel, I did read in the letter that you have already looked at the owner's manuals or technical manuals, whatever you want to refer to them as, that we currently have for our middle schools and elementaries. Do you foresee that those are up to date and the best practices possible, or do they need to be updated as well?
Actually, I don't believe you have any.
Okay, so I misunderstood that in the email that I sent, because I thought it said you had already referred to them. No?
No, I was actually referring to the ones that we have been involved with from other districts, but I do know this, and meeting with the department's heads, you do have an IT manual that's going to go into this.
I remember reading that.
But that's the only one so far that we found that you have.
Okay.
The IT department has a good one already.
So for any of our facilities we have right now, we don't have one?
We think not.
Okay.
Do you find that to be unusual?
Not really. No. Okay. Not really. No. It's just something that needs to be done, but it gets put off as each project. So this is a wonderful time to do it. However you do it, this is a great time to do it. And you'll have it for the next set of projects.
Anybody else?
I have another question. If this is just a question I'm putting out there. If you haven't found any for the other campuses, and of course, you're the architect. Do we need one yet for this new school?
We think you should have a standard for this and future projects that is a guideline. And what happens is when you have that standard specifications, it sets down the baseline for what you're going to build. And if you build that on a project and it doesn't work, you change it to something that does work. And so you're continually improving this booklet for every project. And you don't have to go and ask someone who may have worked here for 25 years and they know how to, which route you should use, but they've retired. You've got it in there, and it tells the next group of professionals that come along that we've had the most success with this type of route. And so please use it unless you can it is mandatory to use it unless you can convince us of it. We think you need it.
Mr. Daniel, would any of this or all of this be on the TEA website for best practices, how to build?
I've never seen it there. I don't think it's there.
There's specs.
Yeah, not there. Just sort of every district or institution, we do a lot of work for UTEP, they have one. You just develop it over the years, and you just have to start somewhere, put that thing together, and then update it each year.
My experience, what we've done here is just have the footprint of the school, and we've just keep flopping that footprint over and building the same school, that we did not have a standards book. We just kept the architectural.
We had some renditions. Type of specs. I know we did have some type of specs because we wanted some consistency, so that way they're saving, whether it's a roof or the it type was. Of lighting. There was some consistency-based specifications. But
within the blueprints,
I'm not aware there might be as specified as the bigger districts, but I think it's critical in the long term as we grow to have some type of detailed specifications. But
you need that to be developed.
We had it only with respect to certain things, and we started developing the roofing one when we did our audit of the roofs in the entire district back in 2006. And what we found out when our facilities director at that time started looking for these things, a lot of the stuff was missing, including the plans for a lot of our facilities. So, and we directed him to start gathering all the drawings, plans for each of the facilities as much as we could, and have as much as we were able to get, we have now under the facilities. So. Barn out at Capcart. So we don't have a comprehensive one. It's probably having it's going to be only for certain things. For I know for sure the roofing we had started was.
A lot of people probably have it in their minds right now. It's not written down. It may be written down. We haven't seen it. But when you meet with the departments and ask them, then you can formulate it, put it in writing, put it in a book.
Direction.
I just want to remind the board the motion would be if the board decides, you could take that off, the possible assistance, the owner's manager, you still could approve the other two items, which is the miscellaneous projects and the creation management scope of work.
With the board's permission, I would like to direct the administration to enter into negotiation with Mr. Daniel. And we see what we're looking at cost-wise, because it doesn't sound like we've ever had this before. Mm-hmm. I don't think our arms would fall off and our legs would go away if we didn't have it now. And my experience from being in Canyon Teo, to be very frank, is it probably get lost again. And, in 5 years, we'll be looking for the same thing. So I would just like then, if it's okay with the board, that we just direct the administration to enter into negotiation and come back with us with some type of a price schedule. Need a motion? Then I move to do that.
I'll second.
Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. Okay, with that said, now we have still the scope of work, which Mr. Armendariz did not, we've got the big things laid out, but we don't have it down into small things and the minutia of the jobs. So that's what we need, somebody to do that.
Someone to begin that.
To begin that.
At least.
At least.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion that we approve an enter into contract negotiations for miscellaneous projects with Dimensions Partnership.
I think that we need to discuss that. Because I just brought up scope of work, so we're just on the scope of work, so let's go there, because it's something that...
I think we're going out for an RFQ on the scope of the work, right?
No, sir.
And that was one of my next questions.
Besides, we don't have... That would... No, sir, we're not going out. We're going out for an RFQ on oversight management of all the projects.
Not... Okay, oversight management. So miscellaneous would take care of the scope of the work both of them would be the same thing.
So the RFQ, and that was going to be one of my questions. The RFQ is for an agent, the umbrella agent.
The CBAC recommended an agent over everything.
Yes.
And y'all limited it and said an agent over that which we would assign the agent to.
Okay.
So we are writing an RFQ, and you guys understand Mr. Gatlin has been out, but he's slowly coming back. And the RFQ will be it'll be like the energy management, that all people responding would be willing to do a comprehensive overview agent, a comprehensive agent, or a less than comprehensive agent regarding the projects that we then would assign, and then that would give us the flexibility to do whatever we wanted to do.
Could this same agent do either of these things, do the scope of work?
Well, the miscellaneous architecture work would not be what the agent would do.
Okay, but could the agent do the scope of work?
Yes, but the RFQ has not even hit the street.
Thank you, you don't need to say anymore.
Thank you. It really hasn't even been written yet, to be totally honest with you, because of Mr. Gatlin's situation.
I understand, so...
That's why the miscellaneous would be, let's say if it were something, and we had discussed this the first time we did the interviews, and that's why... we had put a motion to do miscellaneous projects under the first, when we interviewed the architects in the first place. Yeah.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Murphy, rather than an architect on some of these projects, wouldn't it behoove the district to look at an engineer?
Yeah.
We would have to do an RFQ, and we would be a month and a half, and we would lose the summer.
This is why, Mr. Blanco, that's sort of why I asked this, and I obviously didn't communicate it well. When we had two RFQs, one was for architects, one was for energy management. Could those energy management people that we interviewed do either of these jobs?
It's my opinion that no, because what you're looking for these two issues are someone to come in that's going to be on a, what I understand, to be temporary basis.
It could be.
You can eventually hire somebody into that position, okay? But because of the time constraints that we have, we, at least I understand, we want to have someone come in and start doing and writing the scope of work for the various projects that you're going to be assigning out to people. We don't have anybody to do that right now. Normally the energy managers would not do that.
Okay.
That's not something that's within their area. Now, if you hire architects to do it, in response to Ms. Costa's concern, it's true. They probably will sub-consult with an engineer for some of that work.
Well, that's why I asked that, because those energy management people seem to have like a lot of engineers.
Exactly, and half the time when you go out for these kinds of small projects, they have professional people on staff that can come evaluate and give you an estimate, a scope of work with what you need. I mean,
it's just the timeline. I totally agree with you, but we would lose the summer. If you guys say, no, I don't need an architect, let's get an engineer, so do a new RFQ, we'll lose the summer.
So we can't use the engineers from the energy managed people to...
If I understand the question, the theoretical answer is yes, you can. But the way that it's structured and what I understand the needs are, my answer would be no, you can't. I don't think you can get there with it.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. One of the projects this summer is the wetlands renovation at Bill Childers. the energy manager is not going to be able to do a scope of work on the wetlands renovation.
But we already did a scope of work.
That's
on
true.
That.
Yeah, we did. That example.
Yeah, we would.
But there's projects like that that have nothing to do. We're going to tear up the front hall of CE and redo the flooring.
You could just have somebody give a bid. I think, if I might, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think what we need to do is just hire somebody miscellaneous, and we need to work on getting our person on board so that way we don't, and I mean, depending on the timing, I understand that, but the issue is, like, let's say the playground equipment, that stuff should, we could just put out a proposal out there and shop. We don't need an architect for that type of stuff. So the thing is, let's try not to utilize as much, but we do need to hire somebody for miscellaneous projects when it comes out to, like, the parent drop-off and the pickup grade. That's something that we would need.
Do you think it's possible, and I don't know, Dr. Murphy, that we delay some of the miscellaneous projects till we get our real person?
Well, I think that...
I would recommend
that. Okay, remember, okay, no, let's not get confused.
Yeah, we've delayed them a year.
There are a lot of projects on the list.
And we've got a lot of stuff.
We have 211 projects on the list. I think that's the number.
Yeah.
A lot of which require no architectural services whatsoever. They're bid and go. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so the miscellaneous architect isn't going to be... And he's going to be at our beck and call to do the projects.
So we don't need to do this, actually. We could.
No, wait, though. But
we need a miscellaneous architect.
Sergio made the point in the last meeting, we just need someone kind of on retainer that we can use when we need, and that's what a miscellaneous project architect would do. And it wouldn't cost, the clock wouldn't be running on our cost to them, it would only be as needed. What we're saying, though, is that let's say there are projects that don't need an architect. Okay. We still don't have a scope of work for them.
So. That's correct. But that's the real thing, then. That's what I'm getting at. The real thing we need is someone to write a scope of work right now. And that maybe we could wait 2 weeks to get the person, the miscellaneous person? Is that possible or no?
You could approve the middle. You've approved the last part. You've made a... action on the last part of the motion. You can approve the middle part of the motion, which is the scope of work, and then hold on the first part if you wanted to. Because you're correct, there are items that we can move forward on that don't require architectural services.
Please, yeah, Sergio.
We can't do even some of these small projects without having somebody, either an architect, to tell when we go out for bids. Somebody from our side has got to tell them what it is we want.
We need somebody at the table. And do we have that?
No.
We have no one.
No. We have anybody.
What
we can't
about
do any of these projects.
None of our maintenance people.
No.
None of
them.
Mr. Maldonado does not.
No.
The problem.
Mr. Maldonado's undergraduate degree is in history, and his master's degree is in
We got a lot of old stuff in the school, Dr. Murphy.
We're not going to use an architect on some of these in terms of those. And we don't get somebody to stamp our work on stuff, we're going to run into problems. We need to have somebody.
It has to be built to code.
Even for these small projects, we got to have it.
Okay.
Once our director's here, fine.
Yeah, he can peel off, you know.
But right now, we need to have somebody like that do this work.
I would like to.
You have to request a bid.
Can I?
Stay away from the ones that we've picked. And the reason I feel that is they each have their eyes, I'm hoping, on one job, not the big job, just one job. We've hired specialists to do special things, be like we're operating on our body. Would you want the guy who is operating on your heart also to start up, you know, your foot started hurting? Well, you know, he's here, you know, and he is a doctor. We'll just go ahead and have him work on our foot, too. I don't think that would be my choice. I'd like to find someone that isn't...
And that references my letter that I wrote to the board yesterday.
Well, it does. Yes, Dr. Murphy, you're correct. I forgot about that.
The administration concurs with that.
Well, maybe I concur with you. I don't know which it is, but I think that we need someone whose eyes aren't focused. And can you tell us who those are out of the people? Yes, go ahead, Armando.
Just real quick, I think one of the issues is we're going to need somebody just on staff, but what I'm more comfortable about is not really doing much of the miscellaneous projects till we have somebody on staff. But we are going to need an architect to do miscellaneous projects just in case if we need something, then they could go and do the scope of the work on some of the bigger stuff. if needed. But I think overall, when you look at it, a lot of the projects are minimal. They're pretty much under 100, or all the other stuff is pretty much given. So to go out and have somebody just to do something small, we did this about 4 years ago when we hired the architects. We also had one of them do the small projects, in which they really didn't do much work, but we had them on retainer, which was GNA. Is it GNA? GA Architecture. So they were on to do small projects, but they pretty much didn't do anything, and this might be it as well. So it's just somebody to have that we've already done. And then the other thing is, I'm more comfortable with waiting when we start doing the small projects till we have our own person on staff.
And but so you were the one, Mondo, that has, you want something going on this summer. You've been...
Well, I do want something going on, but I wanted something going on last summer too, which was promised to us, and it didn't get accomplished in that summertime.
Yes, well, we did the early bird project.
The early bird projects came all the way until pretty much December.
Dr. Murphy, do we have the list of the people who we didn't have you enter into negotiation? I don't have it with me. I'm so sorry.
There were three architects on the list that were interviewed. There were four, actually. There were Parkhill Smith, PBK, Alvidris. I think those were the only three that did not receive any projects.
Alvidris, PBK, Parkhill Smith, Cooper, Mijares Mora.
Yeah, Mijares Mora. That was the other one.
Okay. Those, yeah.
I move to enter into negotiation.
I have an motion on the board.
Did it get a second? I'm sorry.
Well, you didn't ask for
it. Oh, I'm sorry. A second for Armando's motion, which was...
I'd like to clarify the motion, see what...
Yeah, tell your motion again, Armando.
My motion would be to enter into contract negotiations for a small project or miscellaneous projects, and that would be with Dimensions Architect.
Not for scope of work, right?
No, it's just small project.
And are they hired with us to?
Well, not hired
yes,
yet.
Dimensions,
but I mean, we're awarded. Already entered into negotiations with them.
Dimensions was awarded the high school projects and several large projects that aren't specifically to one campus, like the drop-off and the a couple others like that.
Okay.
I will let you know that all three architects that we did approve the other night have written a letter of a thank you, and gratitude, and support, and willingness. Great. So they're all on board.
That's wonderful.
And we're going to start. We're going to start setting up a meeting tomorrow with the three of them.
Do we have a second for Armando's motion?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Yes, sir.
For these miscellaneous projects. Guys, I think we really need somebody who's here local. These are something that, you know, these big outfits that are out of town, as much as we'd like to give them a shot, I don't think it's feasible for this kind of project. So I think either somebody like Dimensions, Mijares Mora, or some of the other ones we've chosen would probably be our best. Because if some of these other people aren't here for these small projects, they're not going to want to send their team out here to do. You know, and there's frankly, there's not going to be that access immediately that we needed.
Mm-hmm. Did they not tell us they had a building or an office here?
They have a
PBK has an office in town, as does Park Hill.
They have a suite here, but
does it
nobody
have people
that,
in it?
It might
I mean,
be
is
dark.
It just a phone number?
That's pretty much.
I wouldn't feel for something like this. I mean, maybe if
too small
to assign to them if another project comes up, an alternate that wasn't even considered, it's bigger. I could see us maybe doing that, but if we have a lot of large savings. Other than that, I suggest we go with somebody who's here local and has, I mean, that this is where their operation is out of it here in El Paso County.
Yeah, plus aside from that, I mean, looking at the projects that we might need them, it's minimal. So
I really think it's going to be very minimal.
And let me clarify, this is only for miscellaneous. This is not scope of work you're
no, this
talking
is
about.
Miscellaneous. I don't think we should do scope of work until we hire our own person on board.
That's
the one that needs to be done really bad, like right now, though.
Really
that's what we really need.
But let me say, Ken, the architect under the miscellaneous, if you needed a drop-off, right, they could do that scope of work.
But back to, don't you want them focused? Don't you want the person that we've hired to do these very special jobs? I mean, there's a lot of money we're spending. This is taxpayers' money. I want them to focus.
Madam Chair, just clarification. I mean, regarding that, couldn't our CMR take over some of that? They have that capability. Most construction managers
like
do. They that's what a general contractor does. They have people on staff.
To take over?
Yes. To do these kind of scope of works, to do these kind of projects. That's what a general contractor does.
But we didn't, I'm sorry.
I mean, but...
The problem is we didn't go out for an RFQ for that.
But under the current contract...
Just pre-K, no, we haven't got that before.
Well taken.
So our hands are basically
tied. We have to do an RFQ for these.
Which will delay us.
Yes.
What does the total time for an RFQ look like, Dr. Murphy?
30 days on the street after creation, then interviewing as an executive committee and bringing it to the board for interviews. So you're looking at 2 months, which pushes us to even start the scope of work till the end of May, or middle of May at best. And, you know, we really, and I want to reiterate what, I apologize, one of you said, Mr. Daniel is up here saying, you know, the honors program, don't worry about it, we can handle it. And it's not like ridiculously critical that we finish it like in 2 weeks. And we also know that the miscellaneous thing is probably going to be small and as we need it. And so both of those, no problem, but this scope of work is the pressing issue right now.
Is Carl Daniel here? No? Or Hugo? I guess, let's say if it was a needed basis, can the architect do the scope of the work and then we could just set it out for a bid on that, Hugo?
Charles, members of the board, I do agree with Dr. Murphy to have somebody, because there are small projects and they can be created by a third party. But the architects, at the same time, can give you the scope of work. Obviously, it can be done.
So that the specific, say, the architect who's going to fix the floor at CE and whatever else they're going to do, they write their own scope of work?
They can.
Well, is that...
Asking questions through the different departments and you
but
all.
But still, we have no one at the table representing us.
And that goes to Monica's point. Monica made a very good point. An architect doesn't have to design the floor at CE. Totally understanding.
Yeah.
But the architect would create the paragraphing in the scope of work that then would be in the bid that would go out. And yes, that's UNESCO's job, but we will have no one in that job in the foreseeable future. That's why we're really requesting this.
This is a temporary Ernesto Armendariz to help us get these small projects going. That's all it is until we hire our facilities director.
Right.
We have to have him.
That's why I don't feel comfortable hiring one of the ones we've already entered into negotiations with. I would feel more comfortable having a third party that is just our person at the table. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, you know, they're not their own person and our person at the table. They're only our person. They would be the Ernesto and not the person who's doing the work.
Like a conflict of interest.
Yes, exactly. I don't think legally it is, but I'm just thinking it would be much clearer.
No, because, the scope of work would be written on projects, at least in this short time frame, that would not involve the projects that the architects assigned.
Yes.
It would be the floor at CE.
Mm-hmm.
So there wouldn't be a conflict of interest. I agree with that.
We've had some of our staff, when we had a gap as well, do some of the smaller stuff. I think what we need to do is make sure that we're transparent about it and just say, okay, bring me in the bids of, you know, this carpet and let's see, you know, what the specs are. And they're able to do that.
But who even says, how do we know the size of the carpet?
And there's nobody to receive that. We can't do that, Armando. That's short-sighted. We have no one. We have no one. I mean, we've just been told Mr. Maldonado has a history degree. he has a willing heart, but he's not.
I just, Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
What I'm having a hard time understanding is typically when we do a project and somebody comes in, they submit you a scope of work and we approve it, we say yay or nay, we make the changes. I'm having a really hard time understanding, like, where are we, why do we need somebody to come and tell us what we need? Like, in the past, I don't want to be facetious or I don't want to insult anybody, but like, to repaint a campus, we need somebody to come tell us what kind of paint to use or what? This is what I don't understand. Like, some of these projects, I just think that we have people on board that are capable,
that can do that,
that do have that certifications.
That could get the, the permit? Can get the...
We have a certified plumber, we have an electrician, we have HVAC specialists. I mean,
you are correct. We do have plumbers, we do. But I understand where you're coming from.
The other issue, if I might, Madam Chair?
But they can't write the scope of work, and that's what we really need right now, is someone to write the scope of work.
If Ernesto was with us, he literally would be behind closed doors over these last 2 weeks since the CBAC meeting, writing these things.
Okay, Armando?
I think just looking at, I know when you approve a contract, right, legal counsel, when you approve a contract, you still have an ability to add to some of that contract. And let's say for some of the small stuff, let's say our current CMR that we have, just to manage maybe some of the smaller stuff throughout the summer?
No.
Because actually, if I might real quick, because I know there's a contract, they got the small projects, our CMR at the pre-K got the small projects, and GNA got the small projects too. So if we ever needed something, there's a contract on the table right now with them.
The only, respond to the question, the only contract that I've seen with VMAC is the contract that remains for the construction of the pre-K through 8. There's nothing in there about
small
scope of work. It's all
okay.
We don't have any open-ended contracts like we do for technology, like we do for speech pathology, where just in case we're covered, we can go out for contracted services. We have nothing like that that exists.
Mondo has an idea. GA has an existing contract for small architectural projects across the district. Could we go there to get the scope of work written?
We have
this.
I can't say without reviewing it. I've not seen that contract.
Can we just table that to see? Because I think our CMR might have something, and that's a short-term solution for this summer.
The CMR doesn't.
You know, I sort of thought like you did too, that he did. Maybe we, yes, sir.
Okay, we did have a contract with GA and a contract with VMAC. Both of them were to do miscellaneous small projects for the bond program of 2006, not for this program.
So I
table it and research and see if we could find a question.
We would ask that you wouldn't table and that we want to get started on this.
Well, okay, Armando has a motion on the floor to hire Dimensions to oversee the miscellaneous projects. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's vote on that. Is everybody okay with...
Not to include the scope
of work. Not to include the scope of work.
Which is what you...
Right, I'd be... Yeah.
Okay. Does everyone understand the motion and the second?
I think, Madam Chair, I think we need to do hire somebody to do a scope of work.
We'll do the scope of work next.
Now, and
do you want me to amend it?
Because that's what I'm going to do after we do this.
The miscellaneous project, we can wait, but some of those miscellaneous projects, we need to find out if we want to do them. Does the administration want to do those in the summer? If so, we do need. I mean, we're going to be in April already, guys.
I don't need a permit.
That doesn't give administration and anybody much time to take advantage of the summer.
You passed up a whole summer. So the reason you're asking for this scope of work is because we don't have Mr. Armendariz, and because you want to get started as soon as possible.
Yes.
Never mind the fact these were supposed to be started, a lot of these, since last summer, and why weren't any of these scope of works already in process?
That's a valid question.
It's really frustrating.
The scope of work was not written for the projects, and we actually went to him to even a contract, but that didn't work out. We do not have the scope of work for these projects. But I do take a different opinion. Last summer, we did a ton of work. We put down the blue football field last summer. We have a list this long.
Not the $1.3 million that we pulled from the bond projects. That's what we had. We pulled early bond money to do all these projects. We didn't do the majority of them.
We did them. So. We can give you an early bird project update at the next board meeting and show you that we're 80-90% done with the entire list.
And they how far back were they pushed, Doc? I mean, it was not on schedule. Like,
well, granted, but we're. It isn't that we didn't do anything. We did a lot.
Yep, I procrastinated, but it was done. Some of it. I just.
So imagine the situation we're in now as far as procrastination.
Well, I would rather. I'm sorry. I would rather wait and hire somebody. I don't know.
You're and give up the summer. Take.
We already gave up a summer.
We didn't give up a summer, Ms. Costas. We worked diligently through the summer on many, many projects last year.
I think all that she has a frustration that it wasn't quite as many as she would have liked to have seen happen. I think that's what I'm understanding. She understands it.
We completed about or. Significant completion of about 23 projects
that we
on the list. Maybe out of the 211.
She had higher expectations.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really the issue right now. The issue is, do we just wait and receive some more information on this, which I feel very heavily that we're all thinking that that would be a good thing.
The other
issue. And wait doesn't mean like wait another year.
Exactly.
I think wait means like, am I speaking for the board, maybe a month.
Exactly.
And maybe not even that long.
To do what?
And that's my next question. Can we come to a consensus on what we would like the administration to have us come, you know, what is it that we'd like to do in this month?
And get an updated list of what projects were already completed, what we still have pending, and then maybe we can reevaluate and start knocking out some of these projects that we can do with people we have on staff.
I am not comfortable at all about assigning our current staff to leap into bond projects without any professional oversight. No
I can
professional
agree. There's
oversight.
No one. There's
I'm
not even
comfortable
a.
At all.
I mean,
BB is pulling his hair out just to keep the department rolling, doing maintenance. Never mind bond projects.
Yes, sure. Yes.
Say, for example, we wanted to do, let's look at Kamiki Elementary. There's a parent drop-off pickup upgrades. Who are we going to get right now to start working on that to do the scope of work?
That would be the miscellaneous architect.
Okay. If you want to assign the scope of work, that's fine.
We're not going to hire him tonight.
Well, we don't have nobody on board. We're going to...
Well, there's a motion on the table for... hiring that particular person.
Well, it's miscellaneous projects. That's
what exactly it.
And if you want us and to include the scope of work on the bond projects, no problem. And we'd love to work at the dimensions if that's what the board wants.
You, that might be one of those projects that we might be able to complete at CE this summer. But if we don't get started, it's not going to happen.
I don't right, like guys, combining those two.
We've had some of our principals come over and tell us, you know what? You guys have been sitting on this and been hiring and delaying. To hire these people for this bond. We passed the bond a year ago, guys. Okay? And some of us wanted to delay even the early bird project. No, let's not touch the money yet. Let's wait. You know, guys, we're gonna start getting more of our employees at the campus level where these projects are promised, coming back and telling us, what are you doing? Why aren't you getting on it? We've had, I don't know how many months to think of this, guys. I think we're at the point that we've pretty much hashed this enough.
The other thing.
This isn't a permanent deal. Some of these projects only as we're needed. I don't understand what it is we need to think over more. I really don't.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I concur, Sergio. It takes a lot of planning to empty out these campuses for summer. And I think we need to move. And I think it needs to include the scope of work.
Then I'll amend that it includes the scope of work.
And I'll amend my second.
I still feel uncomfortable with the scope of work being the same person who's got a job and who's now got another job. That
it's pretty much the same thing. I think what we need to do is make sure we try to minimize the amount of work that we do till we have somebody on board, but we're still going to have to go check on that once we get our person. They're going to have to go back and check on the punch list, check on everything. But
you know, and I'll speak in favor of that too. If you were going to pick one of the three firms, I don't think we'll be doing any of the high school projects this summer,
right?
And so Dimensions will have a little bit more time than maybe the other two. So that's certainly amenable to us.
Monica first.
We're not going to ask Dimensions if we pick them to go do the scope of work on the gym at the high school.
So yeah, it's not this summer.
Not only that, we're going to need a CMR, maybe have a CMR for that. I don't know.
So they could have a little more time. That's a good point.
We may not need a CMR for that, but if we're going to have alternates, I'd rather have a CMR. If we're going to expand the gym and add classrooms or something else with savings, then I'd rather we have a CMR contract. If not, if we're just going to say, let's just do the gym flat out, let's do a hard bid, get our architect to design it, and let's go out and get a bid from somebody, then fine. But we're not at that point yet. So I don't see...
Yeah. Either one of these firms that we pick right now aren't going to be hampered by doing this, whether it's Dimensions, whether it's Mihada, GA, it's not going to really affect it. I just think we need to move, guys. I really do. I mean, I see the heads of some of our principals here nodding their heads that they want these projects going on now. I mean, we've been sitting on this for quite some time.
Well, we can, if this is approved, what we can bring back to you at our next board meeting, even Armando at your facilities meeting, is a proposed list of summer work that we will, and that the scope of work will be written and go forward and have
for
all
the
out.
Summer work solely.
Well,
or
yeah,
for all the work.
Well, by the time the facilities, it would be for summer 2012, and we can give you also an update on the early bird project. That's substantially complete, and then what is next over the next 6 months, especially regarding this time lapse when we don't have an executive director.
So then, Armando, when you say the management of the scope of work, is it going to be the management of the scope of work for the miscellaneous projects?
Both.
And for the entire bond project?
No, not the entire bond project.
Because that's what this is.
It's if you need, then we'll go, and if you don't, and what we need to do is prioritize, and maybe by that time we already have somebody on board where we don't have to use those. Yeah,
correct.
Take over from
it's
our
just
side.
For summer.
It's just
be,
to
it would be,
the gap.
It would be prioritize the stuff we want to do this summer, immediate start. Once the executive director comes in, we can terminate that requirement of that third.
Of part. The scope of work, but we still have the Mr. Lane.
Right,
we still have
Mr. Lane. That's exactly what we were saying initially. So, yeah.
And so that you would understand that the miscellaneous projects then are the priority list of summertime.
No, the miscellaneous architecture projects would be throughout the life of the bond.
Okay.
The scope of work would be priority items for right now. Then when we get our new executive director, they partner, they get comfortable, he looks at what they did, and then the executive director can then start taking over that role.
As soon as possible.
Right.
And we are, I talked to Dr. Murphy as well to advertise it in the paper.
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank
you. We have it posted locally on our website and also statewide on the Texas Association of School Business Officers website, TASBO. And we will also post it for at least 2 days in the newspaper, with a Sunday being one of those 2 days. And it'll probably be next week when we get that.
And what is Dimensions? What have we hired?
The high school projects, the third gym, and whatever else we're doing, the fixing of the subsidence at the exterior courts. And then they also have the parent drop-off, and you guys have in front of you, there were like two other significant items. It's on my desk.
Okay.
Steve, I gave it to you.
Outdoor eating area.
The Sombria project at the high school.
And the restroom facilities for the baseball field.
the baseball deal. But down, way down below, at the very bottom, there's another one, another set for dimensions.
Parent drop-off, supportive services, paving, bus bay, and improvement project, exterior insulated, finish system, interior lobbying, boardroom improvements at district central office.
And we have the boardroom on hold.
Right, and the bus bay thing is not a massive requirement. We certainly are going to want the executive director on board before we start messing with his own building. And the high school is not this summer. So Dimensions does have a little bit more free time than the other ones. That is, Mama's point is very good about that.
Okay. Any more discussion, questions? Tony?
Mrs. Hussins?
Yes.
Mr. Cardona?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you, Board. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Dr. Murphy, get some new people for us.
ASAP.
Yeah, ASAP.
Okay. Ugo, thank you very much. And tell Carl thank you as well. Oh. And I'll call Al Loya tomorrow morning.
I think he's right behind you. You can just use the can and the string if you'd like.
Al, can you send another letter similar to the one you sent regarding this?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
I just want to clarify. Can I clarify one thing real quick on the contract?
Yes, sir.
One of the things I just want to clarify, as an architect, and Mr. Blanco will probably clarify this, when you in the architect agreement, the architect acts as your agent, and he's here to protect you from anything. So, you know, as a professional, and our professional ethics, as part of our contract, we have a due diligence to make sure that, number one, the scope of work is written properly, we've met the budgets and your scope. So there may be some duplication. I think that what you really may be looking for is just somebody to
overlord.
Just to watch and administer between architect and your administration with as a knowledge base to get that information and disseminate it and give it to you. But as an architect, part of our agreement, we are bound to ensure that what we draw and what we perform as far as the scope of work meets the criteria and does what we need to do to make sure that you did a good job overseeing it, scope of work, everything else is a part of it.
Okay. Thank you. That's comforting to hear from you. Okay, Tony, that takes us to...
Item B, consider approval of second reading of CB Local Facilities Construction as part of TASB's Update 91. Dr.
President Searles, board members, audience members, this is the final piece of Update 91, which does need to be approved ASAP by the board. However, we amend it. TASB is very much waiting for us to finish this. You have in front of you Update 91 from the Vantage Points, the original option that TASB put forth. And then on page 4 of your board book, you have what we have thus far regarding CISD revisions to CB Local. And I'm here to answer any questions and serve whatever the board desires. Ms. Searles, thank you. Someone give me a
vantage point. There's an orange piece, right? Is it this one?
It's the yellow one. It's this right now.
But it was this
Yeah,
one.
That's what it was.
Is that what you're looking?
Facilities?
That's this one.
That's
but there was another one, too.
Page
4 now. Dr. Murphy, I don't mean this against you or your administration whatsoever, but I know that most all of us sitting here have had some sort of building experience with the district in the background. I think $10,000 is an awful lot of money, especially for change orders. I'm hoping that all of this will be done so professionally that nobody's going to be coming to us for change orders that are of that kind of magnitude. I'm not really in agreement with what I'm seeing on page four. I would like to see something a little lower than $10,000. And when it says here in the second, in the blue, the second paragraph, per project shall be reported to the board monthly. Reported is only reported. Oh, well, we did another $15,000, $10,000 change orders this month, guys. And we're going to go, gee, that's kind of after the fact for us. I know, I don't mean this derogatorily towards you. But that is after the fact for us to have a report monthly. I would feel much more comfortable if we had an approval before you gave us a report.
At what level?
I'd like for the board to give some input.
Just if I might, real quick.
Yes.
I think one of the things we looked at this one and the other one that was proposed, and the other one was a little bit to, let's say, let's say this. This one was a little bit more conservative when it came to that, but it also gave us the ability to, let's say, if some type of project, it wouldn't be halted, but at the same time reported. It was reported to us, but we follow the same policy that we have under our purchasing thing, and that's just to give a little insight on that, since it did come to my committee. Is that correct, Doc?
Feel better if the excess of 500 and less than 5,000 per project were reported to the board for approval, or if it. The next sentence, where all change orders in excess of 10,000 approval prior to the implementation.
The only thing, and I don't have a problem, I could go either way. The only issue that we have is if it has to be, then let's say we're in closing of a project and something happens and we need to get it done before school opens, then we're going to have to schedule an emergency meeting for something like that.
We meet at least twice every week. We do. I mean, it's not like nobody can get a hold of us. We're always here.
And the summertime is the only thing. I mean, I don't have a problem.
I could
go either way. I'm just saying we just need to be cognizant of the fact that, hey, if we need a couple of things, it might be to clean. I don't know.
But you know what? I agree with you if we were only having one meeting a month. But we don't, that is not.
That would be nice.
That is not our pattern. That would be very nice. But that has not been, we all seem to be overachievers here.
Unfortunately, in this day and age with the cost factors, it really doesn't matter much between 5,000 and 10,000 because any change order is going to be probably more than $10,000 anyway.
I would agree, and that's why I feel more comfortable with five.
But what about split the difference at 7,500?
Uh-uh.
we'll do whatever the board desires.
That's 5,000 and be reported to the board monthly. If it's going to be 10,000, it's going to need over 5,000. We'll need
five's the cut.
Prior approval.
Okay, and is this?
And that's not like you're going to get 15. Oh, five. Okay, we just bring in. Here's 10 fives. You can't stack them.
Is this first or second reading on this?
Second.
So this is the last one.
This is it.
We're really
we're pressed.
SASB on this.
Okay.
We're like the last district in the state to approve this.
I don't have a problem with that.
I'll make a motion to approve the Vantage Points 91 with Ms. Earls' recommendations of 5,000.
I'll second the motion.
Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cardell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Sandberger?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
So I want all the architects that are out here to take notice of. Let's do a fun item now.
Oh, good. What's on now?
Steve, thank you very much. Mr. Blanco, we just asked him to stay for that one.
Good night, Mr. Blanco. Thank you very much. Looks like we're on the consent agenda. Is that going to be the fun end? Oh, sorry. Oh, no. We're on C.
Item C is discussion and possible action regarding completion of the Blue and Orange Turf project through additional funding not to exceed $6,000.
President Searles, board members, we're finally on track. We are zeroed in on the full completion of the Blue and Orange Turf at the football stadium. The vendor is standing by waiting for word. This is the deal. We have $12,000 left in the bank that I don't even have to come to approval for you guys. Actually, to be honest with you, I really don't even have to come to approval at all on this to you. And this might be just a point of information. To complete the project, we need one more truck of rubber, which is an additional cost to us in that the field actually is within industry standard. But if we want it to be plush and nice, the way the coach wants it, everybody wants it, we need one more truck of rubber. A truck of rubber costs approximately $8,000, and the installation of the truck of rubber is another $8,000. So the project is basically $16,000 to $17,000, give or take. We have $12,000 in the bank without breaking any change orders or anything. We have $12,000 left in our Blue and Orange Turf fund after everything's settled down, and I've written y'all a memo about that. But we have $12,000, and to get this last truck of rubber, we're going to need between $16,000 and $18,000. So I'm going to have to expend no more than $6,000 above and beyond the budget to complete the project. And I'm thinking it's actually going to be more about $4,000 and not $6,000. But at that point, it'll be completely done. And the delay is not a delay. We waited until the end of the football season, and we waited until the end of the soccer season before bringing the truck on to put more rubber down. And that was an agreement on all parties, because it would have disrupted the end of the football season and then disrupted the soccer season. Further, when they come out, and you have a letter in front of you from Frank Johnson of USTT, they will complete all warranty work. They did go out and walk the track. He was here last week. He walked the field with Coach Brooks. They will come out and complete all the warranty work, lay the new rubber, groom the field, and the project will be complete. And I have given him a deadline of April 18th, which is the day we leave for the national conference, to be completed so that we can see it before we leave for Boston. And he is totally aware and fine with that deadline. And I just want to let you know and answer any questions you might have.
Sure.
Dr. Murphy.
Dr. Murphy, this cost is above and beyond what the original cost was?
No, ma'am. And as I wrote in the memo a couple weeks ago about it, the confusion came in when the rubber was burned.
Yes.
And then we were reimbursed for that rubber from the TASB insurance.
Yes.
Prior to being reimbursed, we had to buy more rubber. Mm-hmm. So the cost went from $350,000 to like $410,000. But then we were reimbursed from TASB that $60,000 above the $350,000. Mm-hmm. And we still have in that reimbursement money that we have not spent, we still have $12,000. So we can buy more rubber.
How much has he been paid to date? How much has the vendor been paid?
He is paid in full.
Didn't we tell him to hold the check?
Paid in full.
He is paid.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. He was paid, there was $8,200. We didn't mess up here, guys. Hold on. Hang with me. There was $8,200 left to pay him. And we paid him that $8,200. And the field is within industry standard right now. It is done. He deserves his full payment. This new truck of rubber is an additional new purchase to bring the field to a real plush NFL type level. It's a new purchase. The $350,000 project is complete, other than he has to come out and do warranty work.
Okay.
But it is complete.
Typically, when you do this kind of project and you're talking warranty work, there's a year guarantee that it's going to stay intact, and it should. If it should not, then right. They have to come back and fill it, not at a cost to us.
So who wrote the scope of work on this one?
You're getting it mixed up. The warranty work is within, is we had an agreement that he would come back in the springtime. He said from the outset, Ernesto said from the outside, and I said from the outset, that we would get ready for opening night, which we were all there. We'd play three football games, understanding that Frank was going to have to come back in the spring and finish any scenes that pop up initially and things like that. Then we have the soccer season, which is just now finishing. They're in the playoffs right now. And now he's going to come back and complete that warranty work. But the field's done. And it meets industry standards. But we still have $12,000 in the bank because the project actually, if you want to think about it that way, came in $12,000 under after all was said and done. We still have $12,000. So now in a new purchase, totally separate from the $350,000, we're asking him to come back and put one more truckload of rubber in. The problem is that to do that is about $16,000 to $17,000 and not $12,000. So I am going to have to expend up to $6,000 to get that new purchase of rubber done.
Wasn't there a scope of work before that to actually
we are, get that? Yes, absolutely, and I have it. It's up there. We had a master field checker from New Hampshire came down that was in the scope of work. He has dropped the G-force across the entire field.
Not the scope of work. That's somebody checking on making sure the scope of work was done. But I'm talking about the documents before.
I think that if I'm hearing Dr. Murphy, what you're trying to say is you want an upgrade.
No.
Is that correct?
We've got
the standard.
We have played three football games and an entire soccer season on the field. The field is done. It's complete. He deserves his money. And he's been paid. Now he needs to come back per our agreement. Now that the soccer season ending and finish the warranty work, which he was here last week, and they're going to bring a truckload of guys out, and they're going to finish all that warranty work. And there was an understanding from day one that they would do that. What we are asking for, in addition, in a totally new purchase, is for him to put one more truckload of rubber down.
Okay,
which we don't have to do.
No, but logically, it's going to settle. People are going to walk on it. Of course it's going to go low. That should have been included with the original price.
No, what's in the original contract is that the field would meet industry standard. And the field does meet industry standard. The new truckload is what takes it to like an NFL standard. It's like making it plush and just like the best field in El Paso. But we don't have to do a thing right now. We could leave the rubber exactly how it is, just have them come fix the seams per warranty and be done with it because it meets standard. But Coach Brooks, Mr. Fry, everyone wants one more truck of rubber to really bring it up. And I got $12,000 in the account for it, and all I need is between $4,000 and $6,000 more to make it perfect. But Frank Johnson is, and I got to tell you, he has delivered what he said he would deliver. And he will continue to do the warranty. He was here last week. He'll bring his guys out and they'll do it. What he's trying to do is he's trying to coordinate that if we do want to purchase the additional rubber, that the guys come out and the rubber gets here and they do the whole thing at one time. But if we call him tomorrow and say, look, we decided not to do the extra rubber, he will coordinate his men to come out and still finish the warranty work. So we're not getting shystered. We're not getting anything. We just want one more truckload of rubber on the field, which is above and beyond industry standard.
Madam Chair, I have a question. They went it up to NFL standards. What thinking or what logic made him come up with this idea? Why?
Everybody who's been on the field and been with the GMAX guy, even the GMAX guy said it, Ernesto said it, I said it, Coach Brooks, Mr. Fry, Frank says, the rubber on the field is totally fine, you're good to go, you're so much upgrade over what you had already.
Yeah, well, and then, how
and then but the question is that you want it to be plush and not only well known for the blue color, but also be well known for one of the most forgiving and cushioning fields in El Paso. And that extra truckload of rubber will do it. and everyone has a strong desire to get that done, to get that extra rubber in.
And do any of the other schools in El Paso have that in the area?
There's artificial turf all over the place. I don't know who has the VMAX, and that's what it's called.
Or is it pretty much, are they all standard?
Yeah, they're standard as well. I don't know if El Paso ISD, when they put in their turfs, if they had to come back and put in extra rubber. I don't know that. But I do know we have the opportunity, we have the funding. I have $12,000 in that same account. Technically, I guess you could say instead of 350, we've only spent 338. And to finish it, I just need $4,000 to $6,000 to finish. And it's a purchase under $10,000. I actually don't even have to bring it to the board. But I do want to just be as transparent as possible and let you know.
So, Dr. Murphy, what I'm hearing from you is we've saved some money.
Right. The $12,000 that we have has already been
approved. And you're hoping with the savings that you can upgrade the field because we are going to win district, maybe even state next year is what I hear.
We have such an iconic and dynamic field.
Comes
already,
with a guarantee.
And this is an opportunity to make it even better at a very minimal cost. Because the $12,000 that I have has already been board approved. Mm-hmm. It's just this additional $6,000 that I'm going to have to spend that doesn't need board approval, but I do want to let y'all know.
I understand. You're coming before us in the spirit of honesty and truth.
That's correct.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Murphy, you indicated that you have $12,000 in savings. And originally it was approved $350,000.
Right. And we've spent $338,000.
Exactly. And we don't have to use that much, $350,000. So technically, again, using that word, if that money is not used, it goes back into the bond money, and that money could be invested someplace
else. That's absolutely correct.
So
absolutely correct.
We can look at that way too. We don't use the $12,000. We can use it some other way. No? Mm-hmm.
You can look at it that way. Absolutely.
But thank you.
I mean, I agree with. If I put this.
But it's not 338 that you spend, because you paid U.S. Track and Turf $350,000, not 338.
Right, and we have $12,000 left in the insurance reimbursement that then comes back in and reduces that cost. And I wish Steve wouldn't have left. Steve did all this, was right in the middle of all this. Guys, I'm telling you, we're not being dishonest here. There is $12,000 left in the turf project that we have fully available to us that was already approved by the board to use for the turf project or up to. And Leti, you're right. Since it's savings, we could pull it.
Yes, sir, Jeff.
I think we should just let Doc do that. One of the issues that has come up lately is concussions among football players. Not only are we under new different standards, but just meeting the minimum standards that now, and if we'd have done this 20 years ago, well, it's just the minimum standard, those helmets don't have to be checked every few years, and look what's happened to some of our kids. This is going to be, I'm all for it. It's a safety issue. I say get it done.
Do we have a concussion team on?
And Sergio's correctly, totally correct, and all coaches now have to go through concussion training.
By policy, we're to have a team.
Yes, that's right. We have a concussion team and all of that, and that's exactly correct. And the field does meet minimum standard now, but it isn't flush.
Well, Sergio, would you like to turn that into a motion?
I'm with the stand that we authorize administration to expend the rest of the funds on savings for the blue-orange field and to supplement with an additional up to $6,000.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion. Dr. Murphy, you said it was closer to four?
I'm sorry?
Closer to four.
You felt it was closer
yes,
to four?
Yes, I do think it's closer to four. I do think it's closer to four.
I'll second the motion.
Any comment? Discussion? Tony?
Mrs. Cousinus?
No.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
No.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Board. Greatly appreciated.
So they're not only going to be safe, they're going to be the best, right?
The best.
Okay.
Best.
You need to convey that to them, please, Dr. Murphy.
And just for your information, the rubber's coming from Utah.
Is that a plus?
Mormon rubber.
Dr. Murphy. Okay. That takes us to the consent agenda. Tony?
Yes, that's item 3, and administration recommends approval of the consent agenda as presented.
Would anyone like to remove either A or B and discuss it further? Looks like we have all of our principals here to discuss this purchase if necessary.
I would.
Which do you want, both of them or one of them?
B.
You want B? Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Ms. Brigham?
Yes, let's, I move to approve the consent agenda, which is just A, and B will be left off.
Okay, so
I'm
okay.
Yes, ma'am. And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs.
Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs.
Searle? Yes. And with that, Tony, could you read B for us, please?
Yes. The purchase of technology equipment to include desktop computers, laptop computers, document cameras, smart boards for all the Bethlehem School, Bill Childress Elementary, Davenport Elementary, Jose Galvan Elementary, Canutillo Elementary, and Northwest Carter College.
Just real quick questions. The first question being, I had asked a report to see how many people were using smart boards, and then the report that I got back was some are using smart boards, some are using a different type of board. And I guess my concern is just the training as well as the consistency of which boards we're going to get throughout the district, so that way we don't have multiple. Same thing like construction, we don't want to have.
Good point. No, that's an excellent point. Mr. Rodriguez. Okay. We have two basic. Is it the smart board and?
Just a comparison, just in that one. That's pretty much it. I think we need a.
We absolutely have. We created a technology resource guide where they put in. We have a standard laptop. We have a standard desktop. With the projection device. As far as the smart board and the Mimeo. The Mimeos, for the most part, is very accepted at the elementary school. The smart board is more at the secondary level. It's departmentalized. Those are the two that we are focused on. Throughout the Polyvision, throughout the Promethean. So there's like a plethora of different devices that you still could have. So to say that we have two is not excessive. But we are, to answer your question,
we are
looking at.
Is that reason because of the technical functions that it has, or is it just?
The smart board comes with the software, it comes with a different set of software that the science person here, Ms. Ann Flores, is very comfortable with that technology, and she likes it at the with the interaction with the high school and the middle school students. But the Mimeos, we do have to remember last board meeting, I think on the 20th, you did approve, remember, the atomic learning?
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a certified Mimeo trainer here in the district now Nicklin Hawkins, I got her certified in Mimeo. So she's, will be meeting with a lot of the principals at the, not the principals, but with their staff. And the atomic learning will take in also the training and for the additional. And that's why we went with that, because it is also on that atomic learning. So.
And I guess my thing is, whether it's a training that we need to provide more training for our teachers, I want to make sure that we're getting the optimal product so that way our students are engaged.
I agree with what you're saying.
Mr. Rodriguez, and the thing that I have found too, though, you have to have a little bit of flexibility built in preference, or they're not going to use it. And I don't want to create a box that people won't, you know what I mean, that they'll get rigid. So, I mean, I think having a couple of models is okay, but I do agree that we cannot open the doors up and let 18 models come in.
Yeah.
And this took a lot. I mean, you have to understand, we tried to say, you know, the technology department tried to say, you know, go with the Vimeos, go with this. And, you know, when you have professional after professional saying, this is what we like, this is what the teachers want, that you've got to open that door to make sure that the technology gets used in the classroom.
And just to give a little insight, some of the, under the leadership program that I've been attending, it's kind of neat to see the engagement of students. And the critical thing here is that I want to make sure that we're purchasing the right product, and I don't mind giving two options, because I mean, you don't want an option where it might be too technical but yet the teacher's not going to use it, so it's making it inefficient. I just don't want to see five different products.
Absolutely. And you're talking, you're absolutely speaking to the choir. You know, we'd like to have one. So, but absolutely, we're not the person in the classroom, you know, and it's coming from a building administration. You know, if, when you tell me this is the only way to go, sometimes it's harder to sell. Where I think we can say, this is the two options we have, these are the two options we're willing to support, and this is what we're going to do.
And I think maybe if, I don't know if you have like a technology committee, but have some type of diverse individuals.
All this went through, yeah, the CICs, I mean, this is state
conference. To really look at the future, because we're, I don't know if it's a goal now, but we are going to make it a goal when it comes to technology, because it's critical. And just to see the engagement on some of these kids.
And some of the things here that also you'll see that the clickers, you see all the stuff here. It changes. There's a book that's out that is, it's teaching the digital native. And what that means is we're teaching kids that are having the iPhones, that are having the iPads. So we have to go and change the, you know, to engage them. And I know we're not supposed to be there to entertain, but we're there to educate. So the more interaction participation you have in the classroom, the more learning is going to be taking place. So I agree with what you're saying.
And that's all I have, Madam Chair. And just if we could continue in the right direction, I think it's critical.
And I think that's also a good thing to do at NSBA is to the National. We look at those and look at those products that are there. And
I'm just glad, you know, in marketing and looking at what the cash cow, like the Dell, and which I have a Dell XPS, but looking at some of our kids starting to use Apple, and if we just have them configured to, you know, our students just learning Dell, then it becomes more of an issue later on. And if we're able to provide a diverse products to our students, you know, it's endless out there.
Believe it or not, Mr. Rodriguez, it's not the children.
Yeah.
It's the teachers.
And that's what I'm saying. If we need to provide that training to make sure,
absolutely,
or have, you know, a person certified as well on smart boards.
Well, it, like I said, we were going originally just for the Mimeos. We did get all that done, taken care of this year. Absolutely turn right around. And, as a matter of fact, to have a certified trainer on staff is nice, so we'll absolutely look at that.
And that's all I have, Madam Chair. Okay.
Ms. Brigham, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you see this as an instructional design approach or a business model?
Instructional is a design approach.
So that everyone who's getting these has told you, we know how we are going to incorporate this in our day-to-day. Okay, I see a bunch of bobbers. I like that. Everybody bob. The Muppets are right behind you.
I need a mirror.
But, you know, truly, that's, yeah, I know that it could be a business approach, and I hope that's not what it is. I hope this is a totally instructional approach that everybody is comfortable with.
If it was a business approach, we'd have this is, you know, and how many principals we have there, that's how many opinions we have.
Yes,
and my job is to meet their goals and to, like, Mr. Rodriguez to try to get it that we can develop some type of consistency and some type of
that we're in one accord. That, and do you feel that we are as a district that we are in one accord technologically, even though if some have Mimeos and some have smart boards, everybody at least knows how to do something.
And I'm going to point this, remember I told you that I thought that gap was within the, and I have high expectations for Ms. Hawkins with the atomic learning, also for looking at staff development, not only for the content on how to, not only how to use a Mimeo or how to use a smart board, that's not enough. It's how to use those devices to deliver the instructional content.
That's why I asked you the question.
And that's why I'm saying it's an instruction decision.
And it won't have to go in the closet?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Thank you. I have no other questions. Does anyone else?
Do you need a motion? So moved.
To approve.
Item 3B from the consent agenda.
Motion made and seconded to approve item 3B. Ms. Quintana.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cordova?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Soros?
Yes.
Principals, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Principals, I thought y'all were bringing those latkes. That's why I thought y'all were here.
We're gonna watch a tournament game.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
That takes us to number four, goal setting. And Dr. Murphy, I have a question here, and I know that we talked about BE Local the other week.
BE Local, yes.
And you did give me the ability to look over this agenda. But, you know, I saw something here that's quite backward. Six should be four, and four should be six, because by policy, the budget should set the goals, not the goals set the budget.
Would you like to do it that way? Be happy to do it.
I would like to with the board, and that way we know what kind of money, so we know what kind of goals we can have.
One item, Ms. Searles and board, regarding the budget, Martha Guire is in Houston, a family situation, and we have her two wonderful accountants here to do the presentation.
And we understand that it'll be brief, but it will keep us in line.
If that's what you want, no problem.
And we will know what kind of money our goals can be driven with. So, Tony, we're going to make 4-6 and 6-4.
Yes, and item 6 is the budget update. Mr. Solis, please stand up. Ms. Ellis.
Kathy as well, yep. Let's pull up the three chairs there and then get the front. Do we got a clicky click? Yeah.
The KBI thing came out great.
Can you see it?
Yeah, I think. Let me see it. It says that Victor said that, yeah, it's good for his campaign, but it wasn't meant that way. And then they asked a bunch of people coming out, what do you think about it? And then they said that,
good evening, Madam President, board members, and Dr. Murphy. Kathy Ellis, for the record, this evening, I, along with David Solis and Gloria DeLeon, will present a very preliminary report on the upcoming 2012-2013 budget projections. In the next couple of months, you will be provided with budget updates for your review. The final 2012-2013 budget must be adopted no later than June the 30th.
Yippee.
They stated that we had over 300 new homes that were added to the property rolls. They've invested in some aerial equipment that they can now get into places where they never could get before. And they've added a lot of property evaluates that have not been on the rolls in years past. So with this preliminary property valuation, if you take the 1,598 and multiply it by our tax rate of $1.17.
If you take that 1.5 billion, you divide it by
100.
So 1.6 billion
dollars. 1.6, and then it's basically what we're taxing is $1.17 for every $100 of assessed value.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And that 1.17, of course, is up with the TRE from 104. Mm-hmm. So we have a double positive. We have $150 million in property value added, and the move from $1.04 to $1.17. So that generates significant increased revenue. In a time frame when other school districts are having the same presentation, possibly this very evening, having to cut mm-hmm. based on the legislative cuts.
And as you know, when you do all this, the calculation comes out to about $19 million in revenue, but we never budget at 100% tax collection because that's just not viable. Mm-hmm. So we are budgeting at 98%. So that would bring us to our local revenue of $18,697,167. If you go to the next slide, our tax rate for maintenance and operation is $1.17, and the interest and sinking, our debt fund, is 0.25. Our total tax rate is going to be $1.42,210.
You'll remember that the bond, we purchased bond relief for the community. Thus, this year, the community is not seeing any increase on their taxes regarding the bond. So that INS of 25 cents is flat. It'll only be next year when that will increase, and when it increases next year, it will only be 50% of the bond, and it won't be for two more years until it fully hits. So that's great news for our taxpayers.
Hopefully it won't have any bonus, but more.
Right, that will reduce that INS requirement, absolutely.
On this slide, it shows...
Hang on one second, Ms. Ellis, yes.
Guys, but also what that means is in another year, we're going to have the benefit of another increase. So those 8 cents we told our community that we were going to raise them the first year is not really going to be 8 cents. It's going to be maybe 10%, but maybe enough, hopefully another 9%. So we're looking at maybe between 6 and 7 pennies instead of the 8 we told them of our property because of our property values. Right. Right. Those were based on property values back then.
And it just depends on how big that increase is for
exactly
next year.
For it won't be. But it will be flat.
It's at least now seven cents because this is take 10% of 8 and it's 0.08 cents.
Right.
Well, yep.
Right.
The other thing, just to give an insight on the appraisal, I know there was, and this is for City Council on Tuesday was discussing the fact that some of the commercial properties are not appraised as well as the residential properties, and I think it's something that we need to look into it as well. I think we've looked at somebody to be on our side. It's kind of tough when you have the people that work for the Central Appraisal District just report to the Central Appraisal District and looking out for the interest of the Central Appraisal District. But we still need to look at, and maybe in the budget, is to have somebody look out for our interest when it comes to some of those commercial properties. I don't know if we want to do some type of, somebody where we could have doing appraisals where we feel that, the CAD is not doing their part to collect extra revenue, sort of what Mr. Bogota used to do. Did I get his name correct?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mr. Bogota.
I have to tell you preliminarily, what I've seen is they are doing a better job than they've ever done. This, it's called pictography, what Ms. Ellis was talking about, and they can just, kind of scary really, just zoom down and get it from the sky, get a close-up picture, and I can bring you pictures of this. It'll blow you away. I'll bring you some at your facilities meeting, the next meeting. You can just zoom down and see these homes. In fact, I've got some really good ones I can show you. And in so doing, you can see every little thing that's happened. And where they're picking up, that's residential, and I think residential has come a long way, but what I've been told was that the commercial, where they're picking it up is they are beginning to do the commercial personal property, whereas before they just do the building. Now they're starting to sniff around inside. So that is something to... Armando, that might offset that, but I agree with what you're saying. Mr. Pagoda was always an asset, someone at the table for us.
I had something else, and I completely forgot when it came to...
You'll remember it.
Oh, the other thing is, I know the state legislator, and Mr. Coronado, I don't know if you recall, but the state legislator, the goods in transit, I don't think we need to look at that. I know our policy was like with the rest of the county, and I believe they switched the taxable value on the goods in transit or something like that, and I don't think we've looked at that. I know it was either the city or the county looked at it this year, and they changed their position on it. Did I say it correctly?
Yeah, uh-huh. So, already done that.
This year?
Yes.
On the property, yeah.
On the goods in transit?
Mm-hmm.
We just adopted
it. Was a resolution, a board resolution?
Yeah,
no, it was just... And but as I know it was a resolution, but does it have to be an action item? It's something that if we can research on that.
Yeah. It was just a resolution that needed to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the next slide, it's showing what an average value of homes is in our area, and it is at $136,850. I remember when I first started, I think the average home value was like $23,000. So we really have increased our property value. Each homeowner is allowed a homestead exemption of $15,000. That's taken off, and the taxable value would be at $121,850. You multiply that times the tax rate, and the yearly taxes that a person would be paying on a $136,000 home would be $1,732.82 for the year. Now, we won't have our certified property values until July the 25th. But Central Appraisal has said they will be giving us updates on a monthly basis so we can be monitoring the property values and get as close as possible as what we're going to have.
And through the chair, you'll remember that last year we actually had to come back after we had adopted the budget and amended based on the actual amount that came in after our July start. We would probably have to do the same, although the entity is, what are they called? This is the CAD?
Central Appraisal District.
Yeah. They are getting a lot better mm-hmm. at getting into it us earlier. So the amendment might not be significant. It might be very minor.
I would like to see, and we've discussed this and we got the facts, but the facts don't seem to be really what is best case scenario. If when you speak to Ms. Kilgore from the CAD, if you could ask her about the Avispa Quarry, which is city leased land from the Job Corp. Job leases it from the city. They're paying us nothing compared to what they're making. That mountain's almost gone. They've quarried away the whole mountain, and we're getting nothing.
We did have our delinquent tax person look into that.
And yes, and I mean, they're paying us.
Yes, and
but
they found that it was appropriate what they were paying based on the current rate.
Based on somehow their lease from the city. And I think that it's wrong that the city is actually causing harm to us by the lack of taxes in keeping that as a city lease. There's something we can do. I know that we can make.
And remember that quarry owns, when you look at the tax on that, it's four or five different properties.
Yes.
And it's you got to look at the total amount, and then the amount does go up significantly that they pay us, but still it was $10,000-$15,000.
I want to say it was $11,000,
yeah.
And that's minuscule compared to what they're making out of their expedition there. Yes, their little...
And I was coming off Trans Mountain the other day.
It's huge.
And it seems like it's starting to expand.
Huge. I mean, I saw the same thing. It's just like it keeps growing. So I would very much appreciate if finance would look into that with CAD at this point before the appraisal levels are set, and if not for this year, for next year, that they would, you know, possibly come to our rescue in that.
The slide before you is our revenue estimates, and our revenue is based upon three different sources: local sources, state sources, federal and other sources. The local sources are basically, as we discussed before, the property taxes, any investment earnings, rent for facility use, tuition fees, penalties, and fines, etc. Your state sources come from your per capita apportionment and your foundation payments. And the federal and other sources, that's our school health and related services, or SHARS, and the National Lunch and Breakfast Program. In 2012, we adopted, for the local sources, $17.5 million, and that was based upon the assessed value of $1.4 billion. As you can see, the estimate for 2013 is 19.4 million. 18.6 of that is the property taxes. The 1.8 difference is basically attributed to that 9% increase that Kathy was talking to earlier. As far as your state sources, that's based upon your refined ADA, and the refined ADA was 5,631 students. We increased that by 2%, so we only see about a $250,000 increase year over year. As far as our federal and other sources, we're seeing a $500,000 increase year over year. So we're projecting, preliminary projecting our revenue to be 50.6 million. We can go to the next slide.
Can I, just real quick.
Sure.
Looking at the adopted budget when it comes to ADA, and Mr. Coronado, I brought this up too. I believe our ADA is more than what we adopted. Do we have those figures on how much it would have been, well, how much state resources we're getting for that?
Right now?
The difference in what we adopted to what the actual number was?
We would have to look into that.
Okay.
And by that, sir, you mean what we predicted the ADA was and what it currently is, mm-hmm. and the money difference between the two.
Between what was adopted versus
the I do know that we didn't have the growth. The difference might be there, but it's not really significant. We did not have the extreme growth that that might have occurred.
Our student enrollment is not increasing along with our property values. So because of that, we've now been changed to a Class 2 payment thing where we don't receive any money from the state for the months of December, January, February, and March. So until our student enrollment starts catching up with our property values, we have 4 months that we have to rely on our tax collections to run the district.
And that's the difference between us and Socorro, right? Socorro is able, they have the student growth, which is a lot.
So confused formula, confusing.
But we'll get you a figure for the next go round on this on that.
I think we probably are going to get some kind of reimbursement back from the state at the end of the year. I'm not talking about property values. We're talking about our predicted ADA and compensation for this year.
It depends on what the final step is at, you know.
Our final ADA for the year, yeah. And I think we're going to get some back because our predictions to the state were less than what our growth was.
But again, it's based on what we sent them in for the biennium, and they base it on that. Right. So if we didn't project enough when we sent the figures in for the district or to TEA or into the state for what we thought our projections were going to be, that's all they're going to give us is what we said.
Right.
This slide, this projection is a $2.2 million surplus, so we take the $50.6 million that from the previous slide and an anticipated expenditure of $48.4 million. And the $48.4 million consists of, you know, the 2% increase in campus per capita for enrollment increases and also a 5% increase, an anticipated 5% increase in the day-to-day district-wide operations. That includes fuel costs, utilities, et cetera. So that $2.2 million is what we're projecting to be used for, you know, maybe compensation or some of the other goals that are identified on the next slide. That said, you know, these are some of the priorities compiled by DAC Leadership and Cabinet. The first one, actually that was number one on the list, was the competitive compensation packages. The technical upgrades for teachers and students.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I have a question. Sure. On that, I mean, I know it's just little, but are you looking at a percentage on the competitive compensation package too?
I know that through HR, TASB is going to go ahead and, I guess, sometime in the next month or so, they're going to go ahead and present, I guess, that package. Mm-hmm. But then again, the surplus that we're anticipating is only 2.2. And, you know, there's other goals on here, such as the fine arts program, additional focus to grades pre-K through 8. I know there's been some initial discussions on maybe a more robust music program. I can tell you that in the past, it seems that the board has committed about $90,000 to the School of Music. Preliminarily, Mr. Ramos has submitted a preliminary budget of about $176,000. So that's about almost twice as much. I mean, there again, that's just preliminary. Other items would be library resources, staff development, technology, and college readiness. So those are some of the items that you know, the board and would have to consider, you know, how to use that $2.2 million
projected. And you'll get to that in another slide, that 2.2.
That 2.2 was actually in the previous slide, Dr. Murphy. We can go back to it.
That 2.2 floats. It's not at all said. It very well could go up. We don't think it'll go down. We think that 2.2 is a floor regarding the excess, and it very well could go up.
Yeah, and that too depends on what our, you know, the property valuation will be at the finals of July 26th. So that could change. These are very preliminary numbers, but that's right now we're estimating about 2.2.
But I just want to point out, and I apologize, I missed that daydreaming. Guys, this is so cool because there's not another district within 300 miles that has a positive number there. Everybody's down. Socorro, it's ridiculous. They're down like $17 million. That number is a minus $17 million when they're giving their presentation. And we're up 2.2. And that is just fantastic.
Dr. Murphy, we need to, you know, not feel like rich people.
Resource.
Be good stewards of these resources.
Absolutely.
And, you know, reap what we've sown.
No, we are very blessed to have the support of the community. So.
Yeah.
And that shows in that 2.2 and also in the increase.
Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, sir.
Just looking at, and I thank the voters that actually were able to, you know, that supported us in that. And I think some of the issues when it comes to being frugal is something critical we need to look at. Looking at page 44, if I might, on the increase of 264, right, that's the difference. We're seeing an increased revenue from our adopted budget in 2012 to our estimated budget in 2013. Am I correct there?
Did you say that again? I'm sorry.
The 2.6 million. That's the difference, right?
That difference is between what was adopted in 2012 versus what we're estimating in 2013. The majority of that really has to do with the 9% increase in property values, because 1.8 of the difference is attributed to that 9% increase going from 1.4 billion to almost 1.6 billion. So that 9% increase really is that increase, or that additional is really attributed to the increase in property values.
So that's on the revenue side, and then we're looking at the expenditure side, right, which was on the next page at 2.2.
So we're looking at 48 on the expenditure side. The net would give us a surplus of 2.2 million. And and basically what that ends up happening is even with a 2% or a 5% increase, it just seems like the revenue increase flowed through.
Okay, so are we looking at a possible I guess that's what we're looking at, what's the revenues less expenditures, but that's what we're looking at to put into the compensation package and the other stuff?
Any goals or budget
or
priorities
okay.
that you guys...
Right, that's that pie that has to, that should be distributed, and just depending on how you want it to be that pie.
So if we're looking at current expenditure levels, we're looking at an increase about 400 if we stay the same? Is that what we're looking at?
A little bit of an increase, but not that much.
So that's just, you know, keeping it the same it is. Status quo next year will be there. That's what we need for inflationary costs and stuff like that. And so the only thing is that's what we currently have to actually mess with. Well, not mess with, but actually be able to either reward our employees or look at some of the other goals.
Right.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And Dr. Murphy, April will be TASB coming back to us with the compensation package?
Yes, ma'am. I don't want to speak out of turn, so I don't know the exact calendar.
But that's
it
more or less.
It might not come to the board until May. I know they're coming to the district in April. You guys wanted us to do
our own confirmation of at least 10% of every figure that they've got. So there is a lot of work that needs to be done even after they initially come.
But it will be timely, so yes. We won't go, oh, gee, they're a little too late, can't use it this year. It'll be here to use. Okay.
May 15th. It's the May board meeting when the TABI representatives from Austin will be there. Thank you, Tom. In April, they're coming to meet with administration to iron out items and go.
And possibly then they'll come to one of our...
Well, they're coming from Austin, so they'll probably come on May 15th.
Then could we get a projection before then?
Yes, we certainly can do a presentation about what they initially
came. Yeah, you can tell. Thank you. I would like to see that because this has been really important to the board. In fact, if it takes two meetings, we'll take two meetings. It's been one of our big priorities.
And the other, if I might, I forgot to say this. That's what we need to do is go back to the community and either the budget hearings, maybe do campus-wide, and then a bond program update within the summer, maybe the starting of next year, so that way we have that constant communication.
Yeah, the bond update will be at your next committee meeting, and then the other one was...
The budget process. In other words, this is where we're at. This is, but to get it to our members of the community, you know, how we did it through each campus when we were asking them for the bond program. Let's go out and communicate what we are able to do with it, and that way there's that communication.
If I'm not mistaken, that's part of our requirement that you gave us when we went out, that we have to go to all of the constituencies, DAC, campuses, for input regarding the priorities, and we've done that significantly already with the goals.
Not the priorities, but just to get that communication. This is our bond program, this is where we're at, this is our budget, this is where we're at, we were able to do this, thank you, you know, that type of thing. So that way people know where we're at on board and, you know, not, oh, well, here you come again.
So would you suggest having a couple community meetings in the evening where they can come up and see this report and then see the goals and what in the bond as well?
Yes.
Hey, how about in the letter, our community letter?
You can do that as well.
I would like to do both so that way it shows we're going out there reaching, and if they show up or not, you know, it shows that the district is out there trying to get the message. And, you know, when we go back out, because we're a growing district, we're going to have to go back out. And then there's that constant communication, not just when you want a bond program.
I suggest we do those probably at the start of the next school year.
Yeah.
That's what I think, too, along with parent night.
No.
Like with parent night, to say,
we don't want to ruin your summer.
You know, we... We came. We asked for your money, and we want to tell you on your campus this got done, and we hope you're really happy.
Gustavo was in the process of creating those big charts that we might put up on wooden posts.
Oh, very nice.
He's doing some great work on that.
Just so there's communication that people aren't going, well, what we get for our money? Thank you all. Are there any other questions about?
We have one more. Sir.
Oh, sorry.
Given to them, and they were also handed a budget workbook that contains all the TEA requirements, guidance to complete the budget data on the team's finance module. A subsequent workshop was held March 20th, in which all campuses and departments were given the opportunity to complete their budget with guidance from finance, the assistance of finance staff. And to ask, you know, answer any questions that they might have had. The 2012-2013 budgets are due in the finance department by April 2nd, and a breakdown of the April budget update, the amounts allotted by campuses will be provided for your review at that time.
Any questions?
Regarding the timeline?
In the first, and you know, in the subsequent budget presentations, the Ms. Aguirre will talk further about the state compensatory education, some of the other federal funding.
Begin to narrow it down. This is our big broad picture tonight.
Yes.
And she, you'll start seeing her now regularly between now and July 1st at pretty much every meeting to give those updates.
Any questions?
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
This is for Dr. Murphy. And Dr. Murphy, you mentioned that the test is coming on May the 15th and the administration is meeting in April. And Mrs. Searles requested some meetings. As soon as we have information, can you also give us information, please? Because, Jody's right around the corner. We have to adopt the budget, so.
Absolutely. I can Eagle note it and also bring it to committee meetings.
I think what you're asking is a packet, right? The packet that administration is getting to have it sent into our Friday packet?
Well, because I know that CHASB provides, exactly. And so we can be prepared and not...
As soon as it comes in,
yes.
So we can look at it.
We want to be looking at it while they're disseminating it to the staff.
Yes,
okay, thank you. Thank you all very much.
Yes, thank you all. Thank you all very much. Thank you, accountants. Thank you.
And that takes us to. Let's do four now.
Item four is the goal setting 2012-13 Board Superintendent goal setting.
Did you want to go, Ms. Brigham?
No.
Did you do? Yeah, absolutely. Come on, Ms. Brigham. Yes, sir.
What has changed? Last year we were talking about what we were going to do with the WIS, remember that?
Yeah. It was like nobody was going to get to eat or wear shoes. It was horrible.
Right at this meeting, we had to vote to let go of those teachers.
Yeah.
That's true. Prior to
it was dire straits and hard times.
Right this time.
I can remember not sleeping that night. I think Ms. Mendoza remembers that very well, too.
That's right. Change in the meeting.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take number five, this break.
What we're going to do is we're just going to give you an overview of some of the, because you've seen a lot of money come forward. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is, I thought I'd put something in terms that you could take a look at where some of that money's going that you've been so graciously approving. Chris, I'm going to have you come in on the RFP we've been talking about today. Okay. The first thing I'd like to talk to you about is the current projects that we have. You've been hearing a lot about voice over IP, the network infrastructure reconfiguration, which I'm going to talk to you about, the computer replacement cycle, and the integrated response system. These are some of the things you've been hearing a lot of money be coming through, so I thought I'd give you just a little bit of update, what's going on. The voice over IP is on the next page. It is switching to a digital phone system, okay? And the pilot site with Northwest Early College High School. And why we chose that site first is because it's small. We put a phone in every classroom. And let me tell you why, because it also serves as the intercom system. Okay, so now that for the price of the phones, we've got the intercom system plus the phones. And we did that to smooth out all the wrinkles. The reason why we are going to voice over IP is our current Nortel system that we have, which is the old analog system, is out of warranty and is at end of life. So we had a problem with the system, and I don't know, we had to call how many people to try to get somebody to service, which is not a good place to be, beholden to communication for phones. So the new ShoreTel system integrates with the current network that we have. It's going to operate, and I have a definition page in the next on the next page, but what I wanted to let you know is this project is E-rate eligible, okay? So right now, like, the project cost is about, this is just for the hardware, not the instruments. It's $170,000. E-rate eligible is $146,200. So once we get the E-rate, we're looking at an overall cost in the district of $23,800. So remember I told you about a year ago we're going to be leveraging a lot of E-rate against bond and budget so that we could get the most out of our money. Okay? What I did on the next page is I gave you an explanation of what it is. I hope I'm not offending anyone by putting in an explanation in the packet.
Now, could you really tell us what it is?
Okay, you know what it is. Right now we have analog phones. Analog is a pulse and signal, and now we're going to a digital, which is like if you go with Time Warner, and if you have Time Warner for your cable and your internet, and if you have it for your phone, you're already doing digital. You're already having a digital service. If you have a phone that you've had, like I have an analog system, which is my old Southwestern Bell phone number, and I've had it, that number's been attached to that house for maybe 15 years, that's an analog. Okay, I mean, if I didn't upgrade it. So what we're doing is now we're putting it on top of the network. We're taking put a picture. We're going to put it on top of the existing network that we have, and it's going to be like an end device. It, you know, and we're going to pick it up. Before, when you had an analog system, you had to have all the cabling and wires, you know, like with your house. And now with the digital phone, we can just move it wherever there's
wireless.
It's well, wherever there's yes, but also wherever there's a entry point. Thank you so much. A data drop. We can put a phone. You don't have to do a work order for technology. You don't have to, you know, I mean, if somebody changes an office, you know, in a campus, they just pick that phone up and bring it with them. So
who do we pay the bill to each month?
This is for the voice over IP.
I notice every month in the warrant list we pay AT&T
right. We have trunk lines, and we're going to still have a lot of that. And that's all, also that's priority one, which is E-rate. One of the things that we're looking at too is that we're looking to eventually, I hope not real soon, but we're going to be becoming less E-rate eligible. And this system is cheaper than your old system. I mean, if you look at our phone bills, you know that we spend $10,000 and this is adding on top of our infrastructure.
So will it lower it? I mean, are we still going to pay AT&T every month a bill, or
we're
do we pay some
AT&T
new people?
We're paying AT&T for our truck lines. We're paying AT&T for our Gigaman.
Yeah, there's board president Searle's board, Dr. Murphy, Christopher Aubrey, the IT coordinator. There's still a certain amount of services that we still have to maintain with AT&T. What AT&T brings to the district is that they bring service to the exterior of our building. What we do then is we trunk it in here to our main building, and then we provide internal services. The IP system, this voice over IP system, is simply replacing the old internal phone system. We still have to maintain some type of service with AT&T to connect to the exterior world, quote unquote. So that's what that PTSN, it's a plain old telephone.
I love that acronym.
Okay. Chair? Sure. I have a question. Sure. Is the district going to change phone numbers?
No.
No. This does not affect any type of phone number change
except
or anything.
For the Northwest
Northwest was the only school that we had to assign a new block of phone numbers. Previously, we had a block of 10 POTS lines for that entire campus, and when we went ahead and installed this new system, we went ahead and bought a block of numbers. So the 1700 prefix there that we have, 877-1700, that is all NETCHES right now. We also have already purchased another block of numbers, quote unquote, for the new campus to be built.
So what we've
done over the last couple of years is establish a certain block of numbers per campus based on, you know, what was available. So 74 and 7500 is central offices.
7,700
is
BCE, 6,400.
Very good.
And what you also need to know is, I know you're going to hear, and you all need to know this, that we're also going to have a fail-safe program. We are going to have what I call the bat phone at every campus, which you'll still have an analog phone. Let me tell you why. If the network goes down, your phone goes down.
Yeah.
So you still have to have it. So you do have, we have a redundancy built in. Okay? So that's for the phones. The next page. Oh, did I put a picture of how it works?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you can see, you know, the phones we are purchasing separately. And we're going to, again, going back to what Mr. Rodriguez was saying earlier, we're kind of standardizing the phones that we're going to have so that, you know, if you're a secretary, you get this phone. If you're a tenant clerk, you're going to get this phone. So that we can plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we also, everything we're doing here, so that we can replicate for the new school.
And then the cost of all this to the district is under $30,000.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
The next thing is the network infrastructure. Yes, I'm sorry.
Where's the board? iPhones in all these pictures.
iPhones. Mr. Rodriguez, did you put him up to that?
I told him he needed an iPhone.
I told Ms. Brigham, since I didn't know how to use it, nobody could have
one. That's right. And I wasn't going to say that because. So, the network infrastructure that we did, you need to know that we spent the best part of last week, right, Chris? We were here last week. Because we had to reconfigure some of all the switches and in the whole district, and we did have a few hiccups when we turned on Monday morning, but nothing. We had a little bit more spam, which we corrected today, Dr. Murphy. But what we did is we did this in anticipation also of the telephony program. So, but you need to know that this infrastructure. And some of the things that you saw up here, the budget priorities. We have an increased stress on our backbone. So we have to always have continual upgrades in hardware, also in licensing. We have increased instructional traffic, going back to what you have been approving for the campuses, every campus once more. And everybody knows the proliferation that you've seen just in your Just go to a campus and you start seeing kids at elementary school that are bringing iPhones that are going into my network that's going in there. So it's been a proliferation, an explosion in the past 3 years. So it has stressed our backbone, but we have plans to keep increasing it and trying to keep up to the. And what we've noticed is the last bullet there is increased integration of third-party software. That's Teams, our enterprise system. But we have a benefits module. We talk to TRS. We talk to IRS. We talk to TEA. We talk to Eduforia. We talk to ISIC. We talk to all these that we have. We have to build a bridge for those. And there's a lot of third-party. I mean, just look at Ms. Seattle's put in this past year.
Yeah.
I mean, she's giving it right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that has increased our backbone huge. So what we're doing now is we are looking at what Mr. Rodriguez was saying and what you were saying, Ms. Earls, is coming out. But it has to change constantly. What does a basic classroom look like? What is it look like for instruction, and in that instruction include technology. But you can't just plug things into the wall anymore. We have to make sure that we can get that communication across. So we're upgrading. We're looking at now. We do have an E-rate proposal as priority 2, though. Is that E-rate 15? E-rate 14. We have a $2 million project. We're hoping that the funding is going to cost us about $280,000. So that's, but if we don't, I also have it in the bond. So we're trying to hedge our bets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
If I'd rather use $280,000 of our money coming from the bond and then still use that 1.8 in the bond for something else. Because this is going to be a constant, it's just a constant that we're doing.
So a $2 million upgrade on our network.
Yes, sir. regardless whether, you know, we put our eggs in the E-rate basket, mm-hmm. and we're hoping that priority two will come through, and that is that we have 1.8 million of that 2 million left over. Okay. Computer replacement, this is what you approved tonight. The school resources staff inventory all instructional computers. We evaluated current desktops to meet educational needs. What I'm saying is that we have to make sure that we can deliver for the special ed kid, we can deliver for the autistic kid, we can deliver for the PT kid, we can deliver the instruction for the ELL, and we can deliver response to intervention. You know, that's what we're constantly looking at. What we did is we developed a replacement cycle to replace the older machines. I have a spreadsheet. I can get as detailed as you want that I can give you. And what we're going to do is we're going to go in and we're replacing the older models with the new machines. Okay. And we were able to do this because finance was willing to listen to me jumping up and down and saying that we're giving all this money to stay calm to the campuses. You have to back up. You have to build up my backbone, my infrastructure, and you also have to go in and replace the old computers rather than just keep on adding new, because what happens is we have some computers now that won't even take an upgrade to Office 10. So we're going to have to go replace those computers, get them in so that we can then upgrade our licensing to Microsoft 10. Okay, so it's a constant looking at what we have and reevaluating. So we did coordinate this with funding, with finance. We developed a plan. We are developing a plan for ordering, delivering, setting up, and imaging over 500 computers. That's just the sum. District technicians will be working on that. Staff currently is creating new district image for new computers to meet program and campus needs. I think Ms. Catherine had said something about this a couple meetings ago, and this is what we're going to do. Like, say, we have an image that might be for special ed computers, and we have an image for administrative computers. We have an image for all the different subgroups, I guess you could call. Sub-pops would be what the education would be under all of the employees and kids of the district. And then we have to figure out a property disposal. So then we have to take the old ones out and then sell them. Okay. And it's took a lot of talking to the campus principals to say, I'm coming in and I'm taking this away. Mm-hmm. No, you can't have it. I'm going to retire it because it's costing us more money to keep it going. And they actually are listening, and they've been wonderful to work with.
Are the newer computers more energy efficient?
Oh, yes. Okay. Absolutely. It's a good question. Could you come up to this one? On the integrated response system, let me tell you what this is in layman's terms. You know, the old phone master? Do you remember that? When you get a phone call from your campus and said your kid's not at school today? Yeah. This is a new, and you'll be happy to know that we're paying for this totally from E-rate reimbursement.
Is this part of Teams?
It is integrated into Teams. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, what I talked to a couple principals today, they were saying, it was so funny, they gave me a list of things to do, and they said for me to upgrade all the emergency notification forms. I said, that's your job. I said, I can call multiple phone numbers, but if you don't change those phone numbers, I'm calling no one. Mm-hmm. And they went, oh, okay. So the RFP is underway, right? It was already taken, and we're taking it off.
We've already gone ahead and put an RFP out on the street. We received three responses from three different vendors, and we are in the evaluation process. What we're hoping to accomplish is replace the old system, which was a single line individual system at every campus to a district-wide centralized system.
Which is hosted.
That's service-based, which means we don't have any equipment here. We don't have to go and purchase additional phone lines. We don't have to purchase any additional services from AT&T. The vendor will take care of that at their redundant sites. And the concept is to be able to take data from the team system, student, parent information, pull data dumps into the new system and create not only an emergency response system for inclement weather events that are going on the campus, But then for also daily use, for attendance purposes, for activity purposes, all that other type of stuff, just broken down by each campus's needs.
Great.
And if all phone master had one phone line, and if anybody had worked at a campus, you know, it would, and it would give you maybe 40 phone calls in an hour. And this one, I hate saying that number, I'm not going to say that number, but it's
it can do significantly less, significantly more phone calls within a 10-minute period, and essentially be able to cover.
Right, that we could, you know, if I thought it would be a good thing for the PIO office. Well, I can say it, you know, I thought it'd be good, but if the public information we had, you know, like Dr. Avila said, if we had something like emergency closure, we could send it out. We could send it out. Dr. Murphy will like this. We can send it out phone. We can send it out. You know, that you call up to the phone. It can call into cell phones, whatever we have there. We can Twitter, and it can go on Facebook.
Yeah, there's a couple of solutions that provide.
We could let people know what was going on.
You're
going
to be informed, is what I'm hearing.
Okay. But it's normally for attendance, it's normally for parent teacher conference, and things like that.
Ms. Kosser says it.
What about the junk that was in all the systems that you're supposed to put the ID in and it was supposed to give you an
edge? I painted those yellow and I put them out in the parking lot.
Waste of money.
You know, especially for the one. This is totally different. This is for parents, yes. And this also will integrate with the parent portal.
Yeah, that one was for parents, too.
That's also
for visitors. I remember that. We had AMS. We kept moving it. Hoping to get more people to use it. Mine was down more than it was up. But this is a great upgrade. The principals are eager to get this going. Just ask. So what I gave you was just a quick overview of all the money you've been seeing. The state comp, which is the state capacitory ed, we got, with the audit finding, we got a lot of money that was reallocated back to campuses. What happened is most of the campuses bought technology, a lot of them did. So we saw that coming, met with Martha Aguirre and cabinet, and said you cannot upgrade, give the money to the campuses without looking at upgrading the infrastructure and make sure that it stays in, because then you'd have, you know, you'd have Cadillac service and then you'd have a Volkswagen engine trying to get on the freeway.
Yeah.
So
Are efficient.
Pardon?
The new Volkswagens are efficient.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, all right, maybe a wrong analogy, but a Hummer-like.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
So what we're trying to do is, but I just wanted to give you, and I want to hear your input on what you would like, if you'd like more, you'd like less, you'd like to do the next couple of projects. And then if you look at the very last page, I have just a glimpse of other stuff that we're doing. You know, the team's integration, we integrate with all third party, we're using it, we've put in a portal for substitute module. Ms. Aguirre is looking at a consensus model. It's not going to go, you know, I mean, it's just more and more and more.
Ms. Brigham, are we wireless?
Yes, well.
Totally wireless?
Yes, and I didn't put that in there because we haven't
sat with
Ms. Aguirre yet because another pocket of money called the instruction, the IMA fund,
yes.
The instructional material allotment. And we've already spent the biennium as far as textbooks, and we're going to put aside for the consumable for next year. So we met as a committee, which you're supposed to have under TE8, the mandate. And we met, and what we're going to do with the money that's from the IMA is about $200,000 that's going to be coming into technology under IMA. And you'll be glad to know that what we're going to do is upgrade our wireless. We do have a wireless internet, intranet, which is this WCISD, which is our wireless. We do have protocol set up and we do have security. However, I'm going to be absolutely brutally honest with you, it's not enough. When we got money to the district IRA funds and the campuses started ordering all these carts, you know, the
I remember,
you know,
carts.
Well, you know, guess what? The great thing about carts is they can go anywhere. But guess what? They could go, all of them, five of them could be in one hallway. And all of a sudden, we have only so many access points for wireless. So we have to Did we say double or triple?
Well, we'd like to.
We're going to trip it for next year. We're looking at with the IMA. Doubling, isn't it?
When we were at TCEA, one of the things that we realized, the good thing that we have is a truncated and segmented network. So there's a network that is available for students. There's a network that's available for guests, which is limited in use, so you can't just get on the guest network and start downloading everything. And then there's an employee network. We're far ahead of our other counterparts in the state in terms of that. The problem is right now, we have about a ratio of one access point for every four classrooms, and it's clearly not enough.
We even have to have two access points for some classrooms. Yeah, that's how much the proliferation, and then add the iPhones.
So we're not quite there. This is a goal to...
For the wireless, okay. Absolutely. We have a lot more to go, and when we saw that, we met with Ms. Fieto, we met with Ernie Ortiz, and then it was Estella Jimenez, myself, and Chris. And what we just figured is this was an opportunity for not to burden the district and to come up with a great wireless project. And this is what we're going to do. And the fact is, when we did go to TCA and I went to COSIN, when Tony was here, what he did is he did create that segmented wireless network, which you have, you know, like in the intranet where you have employees, guests, and students.
So we're in the process.
And you know what? It's going to be continual.
We've done two things over the last couple of years. With part of that $2.1 million that we submitted for E-rate will be to upgrade all of the wireless controllers and the access points. The other pocket money that we'd like to do, we have about 200 access points. We'd like to at least maybe get 75 or 100 with that and start oversaturating the classrooms and the hallways.
Especially high school.
Yeah, okay. And then the following year, depending on how other funds go, we'd like to finish that doubling of our current network. Our goal is in 4 years to at least triple what we have right now.
Okay. With that said, where do we keep our data? On-site or off-site?
We keep data in two different spots. We actually have to have a repository of data here. Okay. That's tied into the team system, the AS400 and all that, but that is taken off-site every week. We have tape backups that have...
Okay, so that if we had a disaster, everything's somewhere else. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that Chris, we're talking about with the new school, we're thinking about adding to their MC, into the data, almost creating an image, a mirror image of the data center, so God forbid this building, something happened to this building, that it would just be... probably maybe an hour or something, that we could absolutely say, okay guys, we're taking it all down, then we're bringing it all back up.
Yes.
All the data will be secure, and we have to have that as far as records retention, Ms. Earls, as far as, you know, for the law and what we have to do.
But we do have off-site, we are secure. If everything, I remember the AS400 went down and everybody went, I don't know what to do. If that happened at this point now, we don't have to worry about that. Everything is secure,
well,
and we could
live. First of all, we get it back up. It backs up every night. So what we could do is we could call Prologic and go, and then they'd say, okay, everything's coming.
Okay.
And we also, I would do that first, and then something cataclysmic. Then we go back to our Regold tape. But since it's backed up constantly, that's one of the benefits of the team system. Every keystroke is, you know what I mean? So, and I think that's why...
So we're secure? Okay.
At least with that, as far as redundancy and getting our data back.
Yeah. One of the things we'd like to do with the new campus is to build essentially a disaster recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a smaller footprint of what we have right now, but still be able to handle the quantity of data and just have a limited number of users until we were able to get a full system back up.
Okay.
Just planning.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in this day and age, I know that there was a time in this district when we had a full emergency response system written, prepared, ready to go.
And you know what, though?
Chris, who's the vendor for the backup?
I'm sorry?
Who's the vendor for the off-site backup?
The offsite backup, I can't remember the company, but
I can get that for you by Friday packet. He comes in every week. I say hello, how are you? He comes and picks them up, but I don't know.
It's International Business Archives.
Thank you.
International Business Archives.
Okay.
So
thank you, Kathy.
They keep our stuff offsite and they pick it up once a week.
Yeah, we have a rotating packet of 4 weeks' worth of tapes. Every week we're swapping out, and we have another set of tapes that also backups, full backups of the system.
The system, our systems techs come in. They come in and check every morning. We have this daily up. You know, daily protocols, they come in, they look at everything, make sure all the servers are up, they pull up the tape, get ready for the next day, and so we
So we're emergency prepared and ready?
Because you're right, that emergency response, we believe in it very much, and we do think that we have to have that, we have to have not only, but we'd like to have it tripled, and that's why we'd like for the new school to become the backup.
Are there any other questions?
No.
Okay, Tony, you want to take us to...
Item 4 is the goal setting, 2012-13, Board Superintendent goal setting.
Dr. Murphy, I guess we've heard our budget and we have some money, so we can actually even set some goals.
What I have for you, present several board members and audience, is I have 28 goal statements broken up into three categories: academic goals, finance and personnel goals, and then community parent goals. As you've been seeing in Friday Packet and Eagle Notes, we have vetted these through two large committees, the DAC and the Leadership Committee. What you see before you are the items that have received significant votes from either one or usually both groups. And these are similar to the finance update tonight, an opening round of goal statements. The board certainly can adopt, change, amend, delete, add, whatever they desire as we work through this, as we go forward. I do want to point out, Ms. Searles, I don't know exactly how you want me to go through this. I do have some items I do want to point out.
You just roll.
Okay, the technology goals that we've been talking about quite a bit this evening, number 2 and number 6 on page 1, and then number 2 on page 3. We have three goals, and I can tell you that in the DAC and in the Leadership Committee that technology was extremely important to them, and we have three goals in the 28 that deal specifically with upgrading the day-to-day life experience of the student with technology and continuing that effort. We actually have that goal this year. We have one goal, and not only do we have a desire to upgrade the day-to-day life of the student regarding technology, but objectively to reduce our negative indicators on the Texas STAR chart, which is the technology chart for districts as far as they're rated. And we're doing, I think, excellent work in that area. I do want to call your attention to page 3, number 1. Number 1, consider the increase of employee compensation to be a necessity, not a luxury. And I want to repeat that. Consider the increase of employee compensation to be a necessity, not a luxury, and commit to higher pay across the board. Use this period of financial stability to catch up with our neighboring districts. And in front of the DAC and the Leadership Committee, this was by far the number one item, period. 28 votes in one of the committees, I remember, and 24 votes in the other, positive. And we actually did put a foil to this in that we had, which one suits what you want? Number one, increase compensation as a necessity, or number 2, we had in front of the committees, don't increase compensation if it hurts or if it gets into the fund balance, if it gets into really hurting some of the other things. And the committees stayed completely away from that and really were more for this is our time to catch up with the other districts, even if it costs a significant amount. And I just really want to emphasize that was the number one item in all the goal statements that were given across the entire set. Some of the other ones of interest, we have a lot about college readiness. Number 3 and number 8 on page 1, increased college and career readiness focus and expectations, K-12. Increased expectation of college readiness for students, Number eight, continue with our strong efforts regarding our 12th grade seniors. I was able to share today in our superintendent's roundtable at Region 19 about our senior goals. We are the only district in Region 19 that requires, we're not the only district in Region 19 that requires college entrance exams of their graduates, but we are the only district in Region 19 that requires college application to be completed. And that's just fantastic. Number 10 on page 2, I really appreciate that it came in strong. As our science scores are our lowest scores, increase our science efforts in the areas of budget, personnel, staff development, technology and materials, and student expectations. For the first time ever, our ninth grade is going to take a tax star EOC science test. Never done that. Never in TOS, never in tax did we have to take a ninth grade science test, and STAR EOC is the first time. So we are going to be proactive. We're double blocking biology for the first time. Currently, students only go to science every other day at Canyon Teal High School, and starting next year, they will go to science every day as they have this new exam coming for the first time ever in the state of Texas. So we're working very hard on that STAR EOC biology test. Some of the other ones are the fine arts, and you already heard David talk about the increase that Mr. Ramos is requesting from $90,000 to $175,000, and we can talk more about that as we go along. But please notice number 11 on page 2, that not only is Mr. Ramos calling for this, but this scored highly amongst the DAC and the leadership to enhance our fine arts, specifically at the pre-K through 8th level as we go forward. And notice the last sentence. Do this even if it cuts in a small manner into the money available to give district-wide raises. The committee felt very strongly that fine arts is an area that we really need to work toward. Number 12, I really appreciated, and that was the continue to implement our 5-year CTE plan. We've had a fantastic year this year regarding CTE. We are going to meet 100% or 98% of all our goals regarding year one implementation of our CTE plan. And you all received tonight an invitation to the April 11th National Technical Honor Society induction. It's the first time Canyon Teal High School has ever had a National Technical Honor Society, and that was one of our goals, and we did get it done. And we appreciate that the committees also feel that that is very important. Some of the ones I'm concerned with, Ms. Searles, if I may, I am concerned about page 3, some of the goals that not only call for more funding in a general way, but specifically for more people. Number 6 on page 3 basically asks us to hire more nurses, more counselors, intervention specialists, special education, pre-K and kindergarten aides, etc. We need to be very careful when we're adding wholesale staff members. Number 8 I am concerned about, create foundational merit pay categories that reward employees. The jury is very much mixed. The jury is out regarding merit pay and its effectiveness across the nation. Some districts do it well, other districts don't, and in all cases, it's a fight. And I don't know if we want to go there, but if the board wants to entertain that, we certainly can. Number 10 at the bottom of page 3 also calls for additional staffing, more reading specialists in CISD, and if we wanted to go in that direction, we would need to purchase more FTEs. Those are some of the ones I'm concerned about. There's some on here that are going to cost a lot of money, the technology ones, although we do appreciate Dr. Avila and Ms. Brigham's efforts regarding E-rate that will assist us in those areas. Notice number 7 on page 1, increased staffing and budgets in early childhood programs. Certainly a key component of our efforts, but will cost money if we want to go in that direction. The science upgrade will cost money as we go in that direction, as will the fine arts, which we've already talked about. Of course, the compensation on page 3. Notice number 3 on page 3, increase our custodial and maintenance staffs. better serve our district. This is our teacher leadership in DAC and our administrative leadership on our leadership team calling for us to spend more money in the areas of custodial and maintenance efforts, and we can talk about that. Notice number four, we appreciate the $45 million bond, but I constantly hear of things that we didn't get in the bond that they still want, and create and implement a three-year plan to address facilities issues not covered in the bond. That's going to cost money we don't currently have. As far as page four, the community and parent goals, I really want to stress number four. We are committed, and it's already in our goals because it's in our 2011-12 goals to prepare for, that next year every campus in the district will have a PTO, a PTA, if you will. The difference between a PTA and a PTO is a PTA, the Parent Teacher Association, is a copyrighted, trademarked organization based out of Dallas that's run across the nation, in which member chapters have to pay dues to the Dallas organization and follow all their bylaws. The PTO is a much looser organization that's just local, that doesn't require any special dues or anything like that. Our recommendation is to do PTOs instead of PTAs and bring those online next year. And we are meeting our goal. We already have had parent meetings, faculty meetings, and about PTOs and bringing them online. So these are what's been given to us so far, and we'll need to refine them as we go forward.
I just have to, I just want to say a little story of Ms. Soros, not the cupcake she used to bring, but her selling popcorn as a PTA.
And pickles, Dr. Murphy, the sign in front of Damian's school.
Is that a PTA purchase?
That's a PTA purchase. $3,800 worth of popcorn and pickles.
When I was a middle school
principal. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
When I was a middle school principal in Houston, I served a population that had significant wealth. And we would raise, my middle school alone, we'd raise $120,000 to $140,000 a year in our PTA.
Thank you for making me feel like dirt, Dr. Murphy.
And it was also a very positive organization. One of the concerns, and I can see Kathy back here cringing behind me, we are concerned about the accountability of the funding of these PTOs.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going to be very careful with that. We have language in the charter that we're creating that says the superintendent has the authority to suspend the PTO and wipe out all officers over a year period if malfeasance is found or if it just isn't working. And we are going to have to be very careful. Mm-hmm. And we're not there yet on even creating some bylaws regarding the finances, but we certainly will as we get closer. But in my opinion, an effective school mm-hmm. has a PTO.
It's not your opinion, it's best practice. Yes. The best schools have...
And I'm willing to bite the bullet and work through those issues to get us back to that.
Ms. Mendoza?
I know that at the high school we have booster clubs.
We have booster clubs. Yeah. That's correct.
Do we have any PTOs, PTAs?
We have none at any of our campuses. So if you're a parent of a child that isn't a football player, isn't a band member, isn't a volleyball player, there's no organization for you. And the PTO will get us to that.
Dr. Murphy, I heard you say that number 11 on page 2.
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody was so for that. You know that I am very much behind fine arts. But when I look at the previous paper, it didn't make the DAC. So only leadership was for that, not the DAC.
Yes, but it was overwhelming at the leadership level. And any item that was overwhelming, and there were some items that were overwhelming
I saw
on the
that.
DAC side as well, they made the list.
Okay.
And again, this is a first rough
yes,
draft
it is
to the board.
And the other thing that I didn't see, and I know this is very near and dear to Mr. Coronado too, I don't see enough CADE on here.
Well, we have a five-year plan approved by the board about a year, uh-huh. 3 months ago. And I think the thing is that we need to continue implementing. We're fully implementing year one, and we're bringing back year two. But if you want to add a second goal about CAGE,
about something about advocating.
Yeah, I mean, we've got like 30-something goals here, and one of them says Kate. And that is, I think, one of this board's, sure. I mean, really.
Of course, the second year items of the Kate are this long.
Yes.
So implementing the second year Kate is items that are this long. So there's plenty in there.
And the,
but maybe highlight a couple of them and bring them out as
yes,
major
because
goals.
Yes, because as we just did, we've got a budget to make those happen.
Yes, ma'am.
And we need to make sure that we don't go, oh, gee, that's a really nice plan. Everybody's good with the plan, but there's no money for the plan. So, you know, the plan will just wait another year. We need to make sure that that is funded.
Yes, ma'am. We have $1 million in K projected for next year.
And
that warrants two goals, so I'll get another.
Well, this is what I was going to say. You know, I don't know what that's going to bring. And I also would like to see a cost with these. And I know Martha Gitte is, you know, kind of preoccupied right now, but forthcoming would be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and this one's going to cost a dollar, this one's $2.50.
When available, I really can't, you can't put a dollar on some of these.
No, but you can give a guess.
But what we can give, even beyond that, is the objective measures
sure.
that we will be able to say we met the goal or we didn't meet the goal. A lot of these do not have objective measures as of yet, and that is something that we need to continue to work on. Because you're going to evaluate me specifically and the cabinet behind me on the meeting of these goals, and we have to have objective measures to so that you can effectively evaluate. Like number 5 on page 1, continue strong push towards success of Northwest Early College, ensuring they have all they need to be successful. And that's great, but there's no objective measure there.
Yeah.
So we need to add some of that, and I absolutely
needs to be refined and defined.
And then budget up with along with that. Yes, ma'am.
One thing that I didn't see as well, and this is kind of a small thing, but I know the board has discussed this recently, and we also it was one of our goals for the year before. Campus etiquette, customer service.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That we care very much about seeing more of that.
Mm-hmm. Training.
Training.
And you're talking from staff.
Yeah, by staff, for staff. I don't care if you got to bring
levels.
Somebody
for
in.
All levels.
You can bring Miss Dyer in. I see Mr. Dyer back there. They gave us a great training. Customer service. And with that in mind as well, we had spoken last year about student etiquette, how when our kids from Kaneateo go out into the big wide world, that we don't want them to look like the deer in the headlights. We want them to be comfortable sitting at, you know, everything
that
from, yeah, they can sit with the president or they could sit with hobos, but they will be comfortable and well equipped.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was something that I don't see here and that was one of the board's goals for this past year. Maybe we can just try and amp that
actually,
up.
Actually, that's something that we've come up with during the year in the mm-hmm. sense that it wasn't one of our adopted goals.
No, it was not an adopted goal. It was something that we'd like to work for. So I would like to see.
We can do a much robust goal regarding the staff training, and then we can do it a principal initiative as far as helping their students become more proficient with etiquette.
And I think that it would even be appropriate, as we had talked in the past, to hire somebody. Come
yes.
in for a week, go
certainly
1 week.
Staff.
Yeah, for everybody. I mean, you do a week at central office, teach everybody how to behave, how to do whatever they're going to do.
Smile.
Absolutely. Welcome you warmly and so happily. That, you know, even if we had to hire a coach to go 1 week to each campus, 2 weeks, teach the kids how to eat and drink and, you know, respond properly and go around. So that would be my
input. I don't know if we need to hire anybody for the students. I think we could do that.
Just for the staff?
Yeah. But for the staff, absolutely.
Well, with the students, why I'm thinking this is we did this in years gone by. Some of us will remember. In the fifth grade, all students went to the cotillion. And that was, they spent weeks. They learned how to dance. They learned how to eat. They learned how to, they learned. they learned how to get along in the real world in a very classy fashion. I would like to see something of that caliber, not just make Ms. Brigham go in and teach them which fork to use or something. Quality caliber training.
Go ahead. And I agree with some of the stuff. I'm glad you brought that up. I was trying to think, you know, you were towards the end of the meeting, and so some of the stuff, do we have the graduation requirement coming to the board for a policy for next year?
It's already there.
As a graduation, as a policy or as an administrator?
It's a regulation, and TASB recommended that it stay a regulation. But we have it solid in the...
But in we have the ability to make it a policy.
Yeah, sir, if you would like that, I'd bring it, but we already have it.
Okay, I guess that's something that we could discuss as a board, depending on where, what... And
do you want me to bring back the graduation, the senior class goal, senior class requirements to your committee meeting?
And I think, it's not my committee.
It'd be Leslie's.
And my thing is, it's pretty broad-based now. It's not, it's a career in technology, or it's graduation.
Every student will take a college entrance exam. Every student will apply to college. Every student will, 80% of students will apply to, for financial aid, that we will have X amount of dollars for scholarship, and that we will graduate dual
degrees at Northwestern. Well, the goals part is kind of more difficult, but the part that we can require, I think if we could put it on Ms. Gonzalez's committee.
And we'll bring all that back.
The other thing I would like to, for you to research in the long term, I don't know if we'll be able to do it this year, but maybe, you know, community service and stuff. I was talking to a bunch of individuals from Cathedral and some of the stuff that they have, like when it comes to etiquette and just all the, you know, all the stuff that they instill when it comes to building character. I think it's kind of neat to integrate that within our own students, so that way they know the difference when, you know, it's an athletic event or a, you know, a art event or something, but they could tell, oh, that individual is from Cantillo. And so some type of stuff where we could start looking at integrating character and community service.
I think we've made some gains in that area with our No Place for Hate program, where each school is doing three campus-wide activities about good behavior and no bullying. We can build on that.
Yeah.
I want to be careful about getting into the standards-based curriculum in Pam Fierro's area about putting in whole units on these types of things, because that's a little rough to integrate, but we certainly can do more projects and more...
Maybe we could create a program like a Ganothio character, where you do, at a certain grade level, you do etiquette, you know, where you sit down and have the way your plates are supposed to be, the way you're supposed to eat from the fork, you know, that type of stuff. And then we could add something else later, but some type of curriculum where we could maybe call it Ganothio character or something like that.
You know, it's interesting you brought that up. I read this whole discourse on, we teach kids everything, but nobody really teaches them how to be successful in life. And this man's point was, maybe it would behoove schools to teach, have a whole course in Stephen Covey's The Traits of Highly Successful People.
Well, in our middle schools, we do have an advisory period in which they have a curriculum that does cover some of this stuff already. I can't speak specifically to it. It's called Mentoring Minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a lot of this stuff in that period every day. What we can do is we can make it more robust and more open and reporting-wise as far as a goal for the board and the superintendent.
I like that.
And then look at the other campuses as well.
Ganothio character. Mm-hmm. Maybe develop something where we could say, hey, at Ganothio, this is what we're teaching our kids. We've taught them about bullying and how to respect others. We've taught them about
character counts at KUTO, CCC.
Yeah, like taking it to another level.
You said character counts at CE, and it had all the character. It's real nice, too. The whole, actually, that's good for everybody.
Got it.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Well, you guys are first.
He goes first.
I just wanted to mention some of those issues that we, you know, reiterate.
specific there, not just talking about customer service, but in terms of the entire atmosphere of each campus to include the students. I think they need to take ownership of the campus, and then when anybody goes in there, the entire school, whether it be the staff or the students, need to project the same ambiance to the public, whether it be parents coming in, anybody else, other employees. I mean, we need to...
District-wide initiative.
Into one of our schools. People should know that they're in our district.
Yeah.
That's just, and those, you know, and like Mundo said, instead of, you know, like our No Place for Hate, maybe we can call it, you know, courtesy counts in Canadilla, or a place for courtesy in Canadilla, whatever.
Respect.
But I think we need to have, during the entire school year, we need to have, every week should be something that we're focused on. And it should be on.
I know, for instance, Corpus Christi ISD this year has done a big thing about reducing foul language on their campuses, and they focus specifically on that. It's called Corpus Christi Doesn't Cuss. It's CC, it's got the cussing. And they've really worked hard on reducing that effort. So, you know, yes, the whole...
Yeah, something similar to that. Been working on different
things
throughout the district. The other one, and I know the on the career technology that we have our second year implementation, but I would like to see us really pull some of those out, increase some of the certifications available.
And that's in a year or two.
Yeah, and expand them, but I want to make sure that we actually are at the forefront and we focus on them.
Now, I will tell you this about CT, just to give you a little warning. When we double block... This is really important. When we double block biology, you're going to see a decrease in students in CTE at the high school, because they get one of their classes, all the freshmen had to take a CTE, now they're going to take a double block biology. So it's going to depress a little bit the numbers
at
when we require that second science class. And we're ready for it. We don't think it's going to be huge, but we very well are going to move a couple of our CTE teachers from the high school back down to the middle school, so that, because, you know, moving all those kids to biology is going to decrease the loads at the high school, but we'll take those teachers and we'll start moving in the middle school a little bit more. So you might see a decrease at the high school, but then an increase at the middle school. So, and we've been talking at length about that, because it is going to be a big shift to bring this double block biology in.
And I did notice that almost every one of your CTE classes were like full.
Yes.
I mean, the kids love it.
Right. But those are requests. Those
yes.
Are course requests for next year, but we are going to have to make you take that double block biology for the STAR test.
So what we're hearing is it'll just be moving high school, but we'll move our efforts to the middle school,
ma'am.
And
yes,
we
ma'am.
Will keep our efforts strong.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Well, one other area, and we've talked about this, is the food issue.
Yes.
I know that's been on the minds of a lot of our kids. I think we need to really do a focus on that this
good
year.
For community parents.
If not this summer.
Well, I can tell you that we're about to unleash a three-page survey to every student from 4th grade to 12th grade. Using SurveyMonkey, Dr. Avila has been so helpful getting it ready for us. And we have, out of the 35 questions to the kids, we have four solid nutrition. Do you feel full? Do you like the taste? Do you feel that it's healthy? Do you get enough? We have all that on there. We're going to get feedback.
Do you even care?
Okay. But you know, apart from the feedback, we need to put it as something that we
yeah,
need to
we're going to improve nutrition.
And Dr. Murphy, I believe that the government, that the federal government has come out with all brand new guidelines, and that our feet are going to be held to the fire, that we've got to amp up what we're doing.
And as you've seen from Adele Baelish, we actually meet the guidelines very, very well. But there's still always room for improvement. Yeah, room for improvement in customer service in our cafeterias. Never mind the food. So we'll be working here. Although we love our cafeteria ladies, But I do worry sometimes about the long lines, especially at the middle schools. Canyon Middle School, those kids stand in line a long time to get their food.
So is there another way to make a mousetrap there?
It has to do with, they only have two serving lines because it's a very small opening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe Mr. Kroger and his architecture can address that issue as well.
I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you done, Mr. Gordon?
Yeah, the only other area that I was going to say is that we need to make sure that we obviously not just even budget for this, but this should be probably one of our number one priority with our surplus that we have in, right now, is that we need to budget like we did last year for additional teachers first and foremost before we touch any of that money.
That's good.
Yeah. Like we did last year.
Yeah, well, PESs.
PES. Just absolutely. I can tell you that we've already spent, or I shouldn't say spent, we've reserved for six additional teachers, six or seven additional teachers at the secondary level, and I forget elementary.
Elementary.
We're pretty flat.
Pretty flat.
But we already have six or seven new units going into the secondary schools for next year that we've already approved based on growth.
I would like to see
that. And we'll bring you, and we'll be bringing you full reports as well.
We can also look at those coaches, no, to see their schedule.
The what?
The coaches, their schedule.
Yeah. Now, TASB's going to come back with some recommendations regarding the athletic coaches. We're thin on coaches compared to schools that are similar in size and process.
I'm referring to their schedule to see their
Teaching schedule.
I'm sorry, Lexi, what exactly do you want regarding?
Well, you're going to look at their master schedule to see if you can.
Yeah, we already have. We just finished that process, our needs assessment, round one and round two. We just finished early this week. And plus six or seven at the secondary and elementary are flat. And I'm going to bring you a report.
Plus six?
Plus six or seven teachers. Across all four campuses, both middle schools, so like 2, 2, 1, 3, as we go across. More at our high school than anywhere at Canyon High School because our enrollment is increasing. And the double black biology is costing us two additional teachers minimum.
Sorry, but along those lines, we need to remember that our high school is, again, specifically in need, and maybe even more, we need to more reserve because this is the first year where we're not going to have any additional students taken up by the early college high school. That they've filled up their four entire classes. So next year, you know, they're just going to be replaced. So any growth apart from that is going to be our high school. And so this year in particular, we're going to see an increase at the high school.
There's another one.
We're ready for it. We've got our numbers set. We've added some teachers. We'll have some PEZs.
And
we're gonna be okay.
And just for the board just to know along those lines, because of that increase in the next year or two, we really need to think highly about any savings to maybe go to putting some classrooms at the new gym in the high school to alleviate some of that growth.
Dr. Murphy, I'd like to make sure there's a sufficient amount for each campus to take good field trips, not just to the mall or to watch a movie. I mean, like a good field trip, you know, go to Carlsbad Caverns.
You had mentioned that last year as
Do worthwhile, you know, take them to the opera, I believe. What did they go to in the fifth grade?
That could be part of like character count.
Symphony. It's the symphony. Character. Part of the character that the field trips will be.
You educate them. This is the way you act on, you know. Like Brooks Brothers has that, how to raise a gentleman, how to raise...
55 essential character count.
Stuff like that.
But field trips, I think, are very important that, you know, a lot of our kids don't go on a summer vacation somewhere. We need to make sure they're getting to go somewhere during the year. Anybody else?
I haven't...
Okay.
No.
Armando's already leaving.
Going back to with Dr. Murphy, I know the food at the cafeteria. I know that the managers have a choice as to what they cook and blah, 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 whatever. But But it's been shared that not all the managers cook the same food. And so maybe you can look into that too. And this is probably going to be brought to one of the concerns when they have that survey.
Yeah, they're getting
They don't bake. Some of them don't bake. They go to another campus, or they have kids in another campus, and then they say, wait a minute, it's happening at one campus. How come it doesn't happen at the other? So.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
That's it.
Any specific campus you want me to look at? I'll encompass all of these. Let me ask, is there any items on the 28th that I gave you that nobody likes and they want me to cut?
That's a good question.
I noticed... You just gave me about 7 or 8 more.
Number 2... Wait, was it 2? No, it was number 6. What's the purchase of purchasing more technology when nobody knows how to implement it? So I guess we need to make sure we have enough training. That be really big.
Can I ask you about, if I may, President, on page 3, the 3 items, what about number 8, merit pay? Is there any desire to move in that direction?
Oh. How about we have discussion? It's kind of difficult.
I thought we were done.
Huh?
Okay. I'll leave it on.
No, it's tough. Yeah, I think not necessarily merit pay, but some type of structure where district-wide a campus does well, sets a certain goal, or you know, then this campus-wide, it would be some type of. That there's still accountability.
Their budget would get.
We did that last year.
The problem with that, Mondo, we did that last year with attendance. Didn't improve attendance again.
Well, it's not. Attendance is difficult to prove. We need to make sure we prove.
No, that's the most objective measure that you can have.
That you get them there. Yes, ma'am?
I have something.
But I can add that.
I would like to see, I didn't see it on the goals. I'd like to see more increased press releases on our students, whether it be in the West Texas Courier or the El Paso Times. I haven't seen like it used to be in a really long time.
Well,
really, we were on page 2 of Metro yesterday.
I mean, it's sporadic, but it used to be we'd have 2-3 stories a week. Like, constant.
Big.
I mean, in our Friday packet, it would be thick of articles.
Good news about kids. Not so much more PR, but... Yeah. Get the good news
kids.
About our kids out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
You know, not...
Got it.
Dr. Murphy?
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have a wellness program? Do we have one? A wellness program?
We do have a wellness program.
Do they still do the walk?
Yes, they do 1 or 2 a year, but it is not very well attended, and the notion was to increase that. The main thing that we have in our wellness programs this year is our health fairs. We do a really good job on the blood drives and the employee health fairs, but we don't do a really good job on that more interactive stuff like the fun runs and the go up to the mountains and you know, cook-offs and those types of things to increase wellness.
Dr. Murphy, I guess too that maybe this will pare down. You'll come back with some possible cost estimates, and
sure.
Maybe that'll be some pick and choose.
Some objective measures.
Yeah, there'll be some pick and choose.
Again, that's fine.
But thank you very much
I
for
might have some that I'm not able to get cost estimates on.
Leadership is done, and for having a strong DAC that actually participated, it really is nice to see this.
We also very much look forward to our survey results. Not only did the students take it, but the teachers. The teachers have about a 5-page survey. It's going to get approved by the DAC on Wednesday, and it's going to go out. So we're really looking forward to getting some great data back from our community. We have 1,000 back already from our parents, and I'll let you all know that the board scored a 74% approval rating amongst our parents, which is twice as good as our president right now. So that's great. Superintendent only scored a 71% approval, so you beat me by 3 points.
It's because we smile.
But I can also tell you that the results from the parent survey, which I will share with you very soon, are overwhelmingly positive. There's not one question that we got a negative on.
Well, don't throw the negative ones away either and just go, oh, no, they didn't turn those in.
No, no. Sister Margarita did.
Okay, then we trust her.
But they're overwhelmingly positive. I mean, this is the on a normal question, this is the positive response, this is the negative.
Oh, that's
it's
very
that
nice.
Much of a difference throughout. It's really cool, really great. And we expect, I don't know if we're going to get the same type of effort, positive effort from the teachers and the students, but the parents is really good.
And Dr. Murphy, have it was one of our like sub-goals to have our employee banquet this year. Are people happy?
Yes, they're getting a formal invitation, beautiful invitation,
great.
On Friday. Every yes. person in the district gets it on Friday in the email. We've given instructions out to all of the office managers and principals about how to take RSVPs and get the $30 if the guest is coming. We've lengthened, Ms. Searles, thank you very much. And Kim Guzman, Monica, your mom was stellar in helping us with that. In fact, when Ms. Searles and I went in, it was already done. She acted like it was no big deal. When I was there by myself, it was a huge deal.
Oh, they have loosened up so much. You remember how we weren't going to get to go outside? We're now going outside.
You happen to still think of separating it, right?
Separating.
Like, remember you had said, well, to do a little something at the high school. We're not.
No, I'll address that. What we're doing, guys, is we are having the campuses give out the awards through 15 years of service. And then at the banquet, it's 20, 25, 30 in retirement.
I say 10.
Why don't you just do, five. At the campus, and then 10 it up. You're not going to get, the retirees will not come, I promise you. There are hardly any. I think you should do 10 and up at the Grace Gardens and the 5 year at the campus.
I agree.
We've already told them 20.
Well, tell them the board changed it. I think we should recognize all, 10 years is a long time. And the majority of people that you get, like for the retirees.
See, the thing is that the campuses are going to prepare an event.
Well, they could recognize them there too. They could recognize them there too.
Let's have this ongoing.
Yeah.
Well, we got to tell them because I mean it's huge. They're all planning.
How many of them are there?
How many?
All 9 campuses.
Okay. How about could you put in the Friday packet how many people all these equal? How many 5s, how many 10s, how many 15s,
20s? Not the 5s, don't do the 5s,
okay,
but do the 10 and up.
Can we see then
the 10 and up.
How many 10s we have, how many 20s?
Okay.
And then the board could make a better decision.
I kind of already told you that we were doing 20
and I didn't
hear anything back, and so we went ahead with it.
No, I thought we were going to, because we weren't sure if they were going to extend or not. Now that they've extended, well, that totally changes the game. And at that point, you said they were dead set on firm on 4 hours, so then it was different, but we have an extra hour.
Would you be okay if you told us how many first and see what we're looking at?
All right, I'll do it.
Okay. Can you?
5, 10, 15, 20. I've decided, guys, just to let you know, I'm not giving superintendents awards this year. I've given them the last 2 years. Last year was a big debacle, and sorry, they screwed the pooch. Shouldn't say it that way, but I'm just not going to go through that. I'm not going to get a positive being made a negative.
Yeah.
The way it was last year. So we'll take a year off. Maybe we'll try again.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
That takes us.
It just passes.